me okay. As we're currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regard to the conduct of this meeting? Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant message facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will unfortunately result in being removed from the meeting. I remind members of their obligations under the Council's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any business or item business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except for councillors considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant message facility to indicate you wish to speak, and I will bring in members as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following. So, as we all know now, a Q for a question, a P to propose something, or type S if you wish to second. I do now understand that Democratic Services will advise me who is next to speak, and I'd ask that nobody proposes or seconds any items until all the questions have been answered. And can we also please refrain from making any other comments using the instant message? In the event that two councillors propose the same item at the same time, the person who proposed the first will be taken as the proposer and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. So hopefully that all makes some sense. So, good evening everyone, and welcome to my first meeting as Chair of Council. As we know, Council hasn't met since March, and so much really has happened since then. So, first of all, before we get started, what I want to do is acknowledge all those who've lost their lives since we last met, be it due to COVID-19 or for other reasons. The thoughts of our Council and the District are with you at this continuing difficult time. I would also like to thank and pay tribute to the Council staff on their ground, along with our senior management team, who continued throughout the course of the last 4 months to deliver essential services to our citizens, often at very difficult and trying times, whether it's at home with family. So thank you to them all. I would also like to mention the key workers and our frontline staff throughout the district, whether they're in hospitals, care homes, shops, delivery vehicles. The list does go on, but they all continue to work throughout this ongoing pandemic to support our local community. So a big thank you to you all. And all these thanks. And other thanks, the amount of volunteers that we have, the whole length and breadth of our district who assisted, whether it was food parcels, deliveries, or simply checking in on their neighbour. And really, that's the true spirit of generosity and kindness that exists here in Uri Moor and Down. So I want to thank them all from the bottom of my heart. And as we've seen over the weekend with the unlocking of the district in line with the guidance from the executive, I want to stress the importance of staying safe and keeping our distance. There really is an onus on all of us to take some personal responsibility. You know, if we go to a park, a cafe, a shop, and it's too busy, we need to walk on. You know, businesses can only do so much. So adhering to the regulations is the best way of supporting our public health, our community, and our local businesses, and hopefully then avoiding that much talked about second spike. And before we get into the full meeting, I also want to give a welcome to Councillor Aoife Finnegan. I think Aoife was co-opted during the period of delegated authority, so you're so welcome on board and to our current virtual chamber. For how long it will be a virtual chamber, we don't know at this point, but that's where we are at the minute, so you're very welcome.
Thank you.
In terms of the meeting tonight, we have two emergency notices of motion. So what I'm going to do is hand over to Marie, the Chief Executive, for the procedures and how we're going to deal with both of those motions. Now, Marie.
Okay, thank you very much, Laura, and thank you for the thanks on behalf of all the Council staff. So we have two emergency notices of motion. One is in relation to the Emergency Department in the South Eastern Trust, and the other is in relation to the ambulance service across the district. We will hear those motions at the end of the meeting, and at that point we will ask for Standing Order 16.2 to be suspended, or 16.1, sorry, to be suspended, and we will do that under qualified majority of those present and voting at the meeting, which would need to be about 80%. So we'll manage it at the end of the meeting, but those two notices of motion will be heard then.
That's great, Marie. Thank you very much. So as we start to move through the agenda, can at this point I ask for any declarations of interest?
No.
Chair, can I declare an interest on behalf of all chief officers in item 8, FPNR minutes of the 11th of June, please?
Absolutely, Dorina, thank you very much. Any other declarations of interest?
Can I declare, obviously I don't know what these two emergency motions are, I haven't read them yet, but if it's anything health related, I suppose I better declare my interest in all things health working in Craigavon Area Hospital.
Thank you very much, Catherine. David Taylor, do you want to come in there? Are you on mute maybe, David?
Yeah, sorry, Laura, I didn't hear you there. You cut out me there. Just in regard to the emergency notice of motions, I understand obviously stand orders have to be set aside for them, but would it not have been sort of good practice for members to have been advised the details of these motions? I certainly haven't seen them, I haven't received any email, I don't see them on the agenda, you know, on the minute pad. So, you know, what's the details of these notice of motions? What's the wording of them? You know, I don't think it's appropriate for just a bit dropped on somebody like this. I don't think it's appropriate whatsoever, because nobody knows what the details are of them. Or I thought surely through good practice we should be seeing the wordings of these motions, even if they're in today. I'm not saying they shouldn't be accepted or like that, but it surely should be good practice we should see the wording of these motions. These have been jumped on us really, and some of these, I understand the issues are serious, but I'm worried here that there's not been good practice followed.
Okay. Absolutely, David, I take your point there. And what we'll do is maybe ask Democratic Services, they could circulate the motions, and if needs be, if people want to take 10 minutes later on through the agenda, take some time for a recess to look at the wordings, no problem whatsoever, David. I take the point you've made there on board.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Okay, I think also then, Councillor Walker, were you on with a question there?
No, it's just the same as David. You know, having these dropped in our lap, it's not good enough. You know, even if we had got them an hour ago, and that we could have went through them and spoke with our own groups within council to see what way we were going to deal with it. David's right, yes, they're likely very, very important motions in that. And in the past, when an emergency motion was coming forward, usually before the meeting had started, you had sight of what the motion was going to be, usually.
Okay, Councillor Walker, I take your point there. Maybe I'll bring Marie in as Chief Executive.
Yeah, Chair, can I just apologise to members for not having had those circulated? We'll get them circulated now, and if we have to, as Laura says, take a 10-minute suspension just to allow you consideration of them, we'll do so at that time.
Okay, thanks very much, Marie. So if members are happy enough, we'll move on down to item 3, which is the action sheet. So if that's the action sheet from the council meeting held on the 2nd of March. So what we'll do is we'll go through them page at a time for accuracy. So if we go for page 1, page 2, page 3.
Sorry, Chair, did you take apologies there? You did.
That, Councillor Casey, thank you for keeping me right, Councillor Casey. I didn't. I jumped ahead. I was too eager. I'm sorry about that. Do you have some apologies there you want to add?
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much, Councillor Casey. Thanks for that. Is there any other apologies?
Councillor Hugh Gallagher.
And anyone else? Okay. Thanks for that apologies. That's great. So we were on page 3 there of the action sheet, I think. So page 3, page 4, and page 5. Okay, folks, if we look for a proposer and a seconder, if possible.
Chair, I actually put for a wee question on page 2.
Is this for accuracy, Terry, or is this under Matters Arising?
Matters Arising, Chair.
Okay, if you give me a wee second to get a proposer and a seconder, and I'll come back to you, Councillor Andrews.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, so we've got a proposal from Councillor Sharvin and a second from Councillor Savage. Okay, thank you for that. And then maybe go back to you, Terry. What was your point there in terms of the action sheet?
Thanks very much, Chair. In relation to page 2, it was agreed that Councillors Burgess and Owen would attend the Sun pilgrimage, and with COVID and everything, that event was cancelled. And I would just like to make a proposal that in terms of the event being cancelled this year, that the two councillors who were delegated to go should be allowed or permitted to go with the two councillors nominated for next year. So if members are happy with that, I'd like to make that a proposal.
Okay, thank you for that, Terry. I see that Councillor Walker seconded that. Is everybody in agreement?
Yeah.
Okay, good stuff.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Any other matters arising there in terms of the action sheet? No. Okay. So in that case, we'll move on to item number 4, which is the minutes of the emergency council meeting held on the 16th of March. Seems like an awful long time ago, but if we're happy to take those, let me see. page by page for accuracy, first of all. So page 1, page 2, page 3, and page 4. Could we have a proposer and a seconder for those minutes, please?
Proposed, chairperson.
Thank you very much, Terry. And seconded by Pete Byrne.
Sorry, Laura. It's actually Pete has put his proposal. Sorry. It was actually Councillor Andrews has put his proposal first.
Okay.
Okay.
And then
Councillor
Byrne has seconded. Okay. Thank you, Sarah. Okay. And are there any matters arising from that minute? Okay, thanks for that. At this point, then I'm going to hand over to Marie. I think you have your stand down delegated authority, so I'll pass you over to Marie.
Yeah, Chair, can I just ask at this point, now that we have our council and committee structures up and running, that I just get a proposer and seconder to stand down the delegated authority?
Okay, thanks very much. I think that's a proposal from Councillor Savage, is that correct? And then Councillor Boehner, seconded?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, thank you, members. Okay, so if we now move on to item number 5, which is a record of decisions taken under delegated authority at the party reps meeting, and that's going from March, obviously, up until quite recently there. So we'll maybe take them all in one go, if people are happy enough with that, starting with page 1 for accuracy. So we're at page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. Councillor Byrne, I see you've got a question there. Is that in relation to accuracy or is that under matters arising?
Matters arising, Chair.
Okay, I'll come back to you. Do we have a proposer and a seconder for the accuracy of the record of decisions? Councillor Andrews proposing to have a seconder?
Proposed.
And do we have a seconder for those? Councillor Owens, thanks very much. Okay, thank you. And then can I revert back to Councillor Byrne if you have a matter to rise in?
Yeah, Chair, and first of all, just when we've stood down delegated authority, I want to take the opportunity on behalf of the SDLP to thank the Chief Executive and the Senior Management Team for working so diligently and professionally with all parties across the last 3 months. I mean, it was a very, very difficult period, and a lot of the decisions that's outlined here, broken down by committee, were maybe handed down from the Executive and others that we had to try and disseminate and make decisions for our council area, and it was a very, very difficult period. So I really want to thank the Senior Management Team for the work that they put in over that period. The last group leaders meeting that we did have, and I'm conscious that group leaders meeting isn't a forum for decision making, and it was just for us to discuss some of the issues that were being taken on the delegated authority by the Chief Executive. But at the last meeting last week, there was a discussion around the phased opening of the leisure centres and a three-phase plan opening of the leisure centres. There was a number of comments made on trying to make some changes to that, and I'm conscious that this is our last meeting before August and the phased opening starts at phase 1 on the 20th of July. So if we can get the information of those three phases, even with the changes sent out to councillors beforehand, we can't have a situation where council's off for the summer and that phase 1 starts and the councillors don't have that information. So if we can get that sent around all councillors, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Chair, if I could just say we will circulate that. I would just like to make members aware at this point as well that there is a query between local government across the board and central government as to how we fall into the opening of the gyms. So we will report that back to members when we get that, and then we will circulate the information when we're clear on just how we actually fall into that piece of the amendment to the regulations.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you for that, Marie. Okay, any other matters arising? Are we happy enough to move on? Councillor, is that Terry? Did you want to go to the question?
Yes, that's indeed, yes. Chairperson,
sure.
I just was wondering, other councils in the Northern Ireland have taken the steps to revert back to reality meetings instead of virtual. What plans has this council got to follow in their footsteps to do the same in a safe and practical manner? As I say, I know ours is North Down, and I think for Mananoma, other councils have switched over to reality meetings, and I'm just wondering when we will be doing the same. And just a bit grateful for an answer. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Terry. Let me bring Maria in at that point.
Yeah, so Chair, we are working through getting us back to whatever this new normal actually is. So we probably will trial something in August with the aim of having things back in the new normal by September. But it's something as a management team that we are currently working through.
Again, thanks very much for the update and for all the hard work that you've done together as a team over the emergency period. I much appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Terry. Then a question there from Councillor Enright. Cadogan, do you want to come in there? Maybe you're on mute, Cadogan, are you? Hello, Cadogan, do you have a question there?
Yeah.
I can indeed. Yep, come on ahead. What would you like to ask?
Well, just checking something that Pete Byrne said. He said that the leaders' forum, party leaders' forum, is the decision-making body. Can we confirm that?
I didn't say that, Chair. I can confirm, just if you don't mind, I said the party leaders' forum is not a decision-making body, and that the decisions were taken on the delegated authority with touch and base with the party leaders in discussion. We made no decisions under their outline for everybody, so I want to clarify that I said that it's not a decision-making body.
Pay attention, Cadogan.
Thank you, Pete. Okay, Councillor Owen, do you want to come in there, Catherine?
Yes, thank you very much. Just to sort of a bit of a follow-up maybe to Councillor Andrew's question for the Chief Executive, if possible. What are the things that are holding us up as far as being able to get back to having real live meetings? Because I know certainly where committee meetings are concerned, even with visitors or public in, you know, that full chamber's, you know, a decent size for any committee meeting, at least in Down. So would you be able to tell me what the problems are with getting it back? Please, thank you very much.
Thank you, Catherine. Bring in Marie then.
Yeah, Chair. So we have actually been looking at this in some detail and have actually done a lot of measurements across both of our chambers to comply with the social distancing requirements. It actually may be hard to believe, but it's actually very difficult to get 2 metre social distancing for any number of people in the chamber in Downpatrick in particular. Our primary concern at this point is working out just how we can hold the meetings and have the public available, public actually able to be in attendance in some way if possible. So we have been holding physical meetings in the Leisure Centre for Planning, but members who are in attendance that will know that that is done via Skype anyway and with the earphones and stuff on, which is not a great arrangement. So it's that kind of stuff that we're actually looking at to see can we get the make sure that we're fully compliant with the legislation and get people in safely as well in a safe manner with the appropriate risk assessments and etc. carried out.
Thank you very much, Marie.
Okay, thank you, Marie. Councillor Riley, do you want to go for a question there?
Thanks, Madam Chair. It was on the issue of delegated authority and the connection with the group leaders' meetings. And I know if you're an independent, obviously you can't go to those meetings, but the agendas could have been circulated to the independent councillors just to keep us in the loop of what's going on. And if there are any further meetings of that nature, I'd be grateful if that could be taken on board. The other issue about social distancing, you know, it's down to a metre now, along with sensible precautions, like hand sanitizers not being in place. And I can't honestly see any reason now why we couldn't go back to proper, properly constituted committee meetings, Marie, so long as people are use common sense and the appropriate, guidelines on how to do it safely. Thank you.
Thank you. Henry, let me bring Marie back in again.
Yeah, Chair, just noted in relation to your first comment, Councillor Reilly. On the second one, it's down to a metre in certain circumstances, but not in all. So you should adhere to the 2 metre social distancing where possible and then put in place other arrangements where it's not possible. So it's one of the things we are looking at. I'm as keen as anybody to get physical meetings working if we can, because it's I suppose one of those things that sometimes it's easier to do business when you're all in the room together as opposed to not. So you have my assurance that we're trying to get to that point, but I want to make sure that we do it in a safe manner for all involved.
Yeah, but I think whenever you can go to a pub now and sit a metre apart and have a meal, I think the onus is on us to act responsible and get the thing up and running again. And local democracy is a very, very precious thing that has to be handled with great care. I think we need to get back as quickly as possible. Thank you.
Sure. Chair, if I could just come in again just on that. Chair, just to make members aware, the regulations in relation to holding of council meetings were amended by the executive to allow the meetings to be happening in this manner. So your meetings are properly constituted and democracy is in action. It just happens to be via an online platform at this point.
Thank you, Marie. And Henry, we've noted your comments there. We move on to a question from Councillor Traynor.
Thanks very much, Chair. It's, I suppose I hate to beat a dead horse, but it's talking maybe on the issue that was raised by Councillor Andrews and Councillor Owens. It's in relation to, obviously, the facilities that we're using for physical meetings again. Obviously, I hear that we're talking about, you know, our own facilities within the council estates. Have we reached out to others within the statutory sector, whether or not they would have facilities that allow for physical meetings? For example, the trusts, I know from personal experience, obviously, on the Downshire site, we do have the Great Hall, which is within the South Eastern Trust remit. The hall is quite a large hall and could possibly suit the needs of council if the trust were engaged possibly on this. So it's just trying to maybe give options there.
Thank you, Councillor Traynor. We'll note those comments down and pass them on. Councillor Hannah, you have a question there?
Just direct it to Marie. Is the decision to have meetings in person or on Skype yours, Marie, or is it the councillors?
Sure, I suppose it is a situation we currently find ourselves in, trying to work through. What I will do is I will be bringing back information to the council as to how we can move to physical meetings. As I said, it's my desire to get us back in again. It is an overall council decision, but at the same time it has to be done with a recommendation from ourselves that we can comply with all of the COVID regulations and social distancing, etc. Again, give you the reassurance that we want to get back to physical meetings ourselves, because as I said, it's easier to do business. So it is. We're giving thought to even, you know, having some members in Uri and some in Downpatrick and via these platforms as well. So we're looking at all the options at the minute to see how we can actually facilitate it, and also taking into account the fact that our own leisure centre is reopening again. So I would hope to be bringing something back to members in August, just to let us get up and running. And as I say, we probably will trial a few more different things through the month of August to see if we can get ourselves comfortable with this arrangement. The councils, I'm sit on Solus, and the councils are operating in various different guises. Some of them are hybrid models, which we're doing with our planning. A lot of them are actually just online as well. So everybody's trialling different things at the minute, and the overriding requirement is the health and safety of all those involved.
Thanks, Marie.
Thank you, Marie. Thank you, Glyn. Councillor McKee, you have a question there?
Yeah, just maybe what Henry raised there. I was just wondering, is it possible to sort of have run a joint effort with physical meetings along with the system we have going now? Because it's actually working out for me to see. I'm actually at this meeting in Portrush, and had it been a normal situation, I wouldn't be at the meeting or any part of it, you know. So there's pros and cons of the system too. Thank you.
Well, for some, Harold, it's a nice holiday. But I think all those points are being looked at and being worked through, and Marie will come back with a paper hopefully in August in terms of how we move forward. You know, but enjoy the rest of your week.
Harold, you bring back a stick of rock.
Thank you.
Okay, so if we
thank
move
you.
On. Thank you, Harold. So we move on to item number 6, which is the minutes of the AGM on the 1st of June. And if we're happy enough to go through them page by page for accuracy. So we're number page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, and page 6. And if we get a proposer and seconder, it's been proposed by Councillor McAteer. Thank you, Declan, and seconded by Councillor Andrews. Okay, do we have any matters arising from the AGM? Okay, so we're happy enough then to move on. So item number 7 takes us to the minutes of ERT back on the 8th of June. Now, bear with me a second. Sorry, just like it's the right page. Okay, here we are here. So if we go through them for accuracy, there's page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And then that's been nice, Sarah. Keep track. Let's jump down there. Is that a proposal from Councillor Stokes? And and a seconder from Councillor Burgess, is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then Harold, did you want to come in on a matter's horizon there?
Sorry, Councillor McAteer had a question first.
Oh, apologies, Declan.
It was just about the accuracy of them. I know on page 5 and 6, on the matter of the geopark, etc., that I had asked at the meeting that the Northern Agriculture Producers Association would be also consulted when the councillor going out to meet the Farmers Union, just to make sure everybody's on board, you know.
But
that wasn't reflected. Just if everybody remembers that, that's what I asked for.
We can get that amended and added on, Connor, I would think, at this point. That's fine. Thank you. And then, any other matters arising?
Councillor McKay has a question.
Councillor McKay. Do you want to go on ahead there, Harold?
Yes. Thanks, Chair. On page 5 of the same, has there been any further engagement with the farmers in relation to the geopark proposal? That's question 1. And 2, I had personally asked the Chief Executive and Connor, maybe unofficially, but to make it official now, in regards to a meeting with the Mourne Area of Outstanding Not Your Beauty Residents Action Group. We would like a meeting, and there's only going to be 3 people at it, so I would like if they could facilitate that. And then if we go to page 7 in relation to the lease of Newcastle Harbour Slipway, could I ask that we could take a look at providing at least temporary storage for clothing for the swimmers? I've been there. I don't swim, but I think plenty of those that do who swim in those waters, and they've nowhere to put their clothes and amongst the rocks, and I'm pretty sure there'd be an odd creepy fella about there, and it's not a very tidy place, so I would like to think there's something we could do there as a sort of a storage thing. Nothing too elaborate, just something basic that will facilitate clothes changing. Thank you.
Thank you, Harold. I'm going to bring Connor Mallon in there, the director.
Okay, thanks, Chair. With regard to the first question, we have proposed a meeting towards the end of July with the Ulster Farmers Union, and we'll take on board Councillor McAteer's amendments to the minutes, and we will include them in the invite as well. We're also happy to facilitate a meeting under your second issue raised, and we'll now make contact with you after the meeting to agree who the key people are and who the 3 people you would like us to meet with. And on the third issue, we will look into the provision or a proposal to provide some facilities to store clothing, etc., in Newcastle.
Thanks, Connor. Thank you.
Thank you, Connor. I have a number of questions here for you, Connor. So maybe Councillor Sharvin, do you want to come in first?
Yep. So my item is on the service level agreements item. And I take it that it was noted that officers are obviously working with all parties who have a service level agreement. I just want to seek assurance that no decision has been made to amend any of those, and that the level of service level agreement will continue at the level that was agreed. And I also note that it's going to an SPNR committee meeting. I assume that's in August. Is that August, SPNR? That's just the 2 items I had.
Thank you, Councillor Sharvin. Connor, can you come back in on those points?
Thanks, Chair. Yes, on both points, no decision has been made to amend the letter of offer, as it's currently subject to review. And yes, it will be brought back to SPNR in August.
Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Clark, Willie, you wanted in there with a question?
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. Just on Councillor McKee's point about the Newcastle swimmers. I do believe we do have to provide some sort of protection for them. They swim all year round. It may be an issue we might talk to the Newcastle Yacht Club or something that's right beside the area, and we could maybe get a service level agreement there that they could use change facilities at that location. And over we're trying to put in, you know, like a change in box. There's difficulties where to locate it. That's our problem, and myself and Laura's been looking at it as well. You know, it's just getting a location where you can put the infrastructure. So I think one aspect might be talked to the yacht club. It might be an opportunity there. My question then, Laura, is in regards to the free ports. I'm not sure what page I've lost it here, Laura. But Sinn Féin, we've issues with the free ports, and we let it run through the committee, but it runs counterproductive, basically, to our Brexit policy and also the Irish protocol. They would exacerbate regional imbalances and undermine local and all-Ireland trade. And Devin suggested merely by introducing free ports, you merely relocate rather than create jobs. You know, so it's businesses using the opportunity for tax evasion. So, as I said, free ports can act as tax havens, benefiting international tax avoiders with negative financial implications for other ports, the Exchequer and the local authorities. So, from that point of view, we have concerns with it. Now, I understand that this is an opportunity to look at the benefits of it, but I was just interested in the Chief Executive's position. And are we taking a decision on this, or are we waiting until the paper comes back to us?
Thank you, Councillor Clark. I'll hand you back to Marie, but it looks like it's going to go back to ERT. They'll bring maybe Marie O'Connor in on that one. Marie?
Just on the free ports, O'Connor could address it as well. All I think that was being asked for at ERT was to look at the actual, I suppose, the opportunities and challenges of entering into making an application along with Warm Point Port. So it will go to an August ERT for decision as to what the council are going to be doing. I think, am I correct in saying that, Connor, just?
Thanks, Chair. Yes, that's correct. We're just trying out a consultation at the minute locally, and that'll tease out the challenges and opportunities, and it'll be brought back for discussion at ERT in August.
Thank you, Connor. Willie, are you happy enough there?
Fair enough, Chair. It's just written, noting our objections at the minute. We'll wait for the paper to come back.
Sure. We'll get those noted down. Thank you, Willie. Back to you, Councillor McAteer. Do you have a question and a proposal? Is that correct?
Well, a mixture of both, yeah. In fact, mm-hmm. just on back of what Willie Clark said there about the ports, I think I really recall asking the Chief Executive at the proper ERT meeting, to be wary of the All-Ireland protocols on this, and that it wouldn't jeopardise what has already been agreed, and we need to be very wary of it as it's going forward. But I appreciate it's only a efficient exercise to see what is actually happening. But I understand not even Warm Point Port knows exactly what it's all about. But anyway, moving on to my other item, which was on page 7, it's actually Warm Point Baths. And when you see there where there's one of the options, there are two options. Option A, formally conclude the current EOA process, we agreed that. And then the other part was B, offers to review the above options and bring forward recommendations of the options outlined in the report. The outline in the report were very limited in that really we were just talking about explore internally all the development options for the site. But I would like to get some sort of agreement that what actually would happen, that we would bring more, that the office would bring more details forward along the lines of the whole restoration of the baths. I've spoken with National Lottery, Heritage Lottery, who actually very much like the idea of building on the restoration theme, you know, that we've already started in the Warm Point Municipal Park. This would be a great opportunity to give Warm Point a swim facility, plus through the restoration actually would add very much to the tourist attraction of the area. So I would ask that officer would take that specific line of thought and action forward. And we could also, I also ask them to involve that was the advice coming from National Lottery, Cashel Heritage Lottery, they'd involve the Department of Heritage and also Tourism NI. Ask them to get involved as well. So at least we know the direction of travel we're going to be going on this. I do appreciate that the report also says there are no formal council budgets to undertake studies or costs associated with any of this. But at the moment, this really would just be officers' time. So I want to lay down a very clear direction of travel. That's why I'm asking to be so specific about this tonight.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer. So that's a proposal. Do you have a seconder for that proposal?
I'm sure somebody stepped in.
Yeah, somebody coming in at a second. Councillor Byrne, thank you very much. Connor, is that okay with you if we take that proposal?
Yes, we'll take that proposal for E3RT, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Thanks very much. Thank you, Declan. So in terms of questions, we're on to Councillor Burgess. Robert?
Thank you, Chair. Just follow up on again with the Geopark and their meeting, the Ulster Farmers Union. I understood at the last meeting that they decided for a meeting with NEAPA and the Farmers Union together because it's the same concerns with both Farmers Union. Connor, are we meeting both unions at the same time?
If I could follow up, Chair, following Councillor McAteer's suggestion around the amendment to the minute, I would agree, yes, that I'm happy to meet with both.
Yeah, okay, thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Connor. Thank you, Robert. So the question there now from Councillor Riley.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Yeah, it's on the issue that Willie was concerned there about free ports. I would be very concerned if this council was to send out negative messages on that at this stage, because the Ireland-Northern Ireland Protocol, it's a very minimalist thing that is designed to keep the border open. And there's going to be still, the trade within the UK is still going to flow. All the free ports do is enhance the attractiveness to people who locate to process within big sites and then export. And I think there's courts already, a free port, so we shouldn't show any negativity in this at all. And Lauren, Belfast and Londonderry are all very keen to do it. So I would be very disappointed if Newry, Mourne and Down Council would start to send unfavourable or negative messages on this at this early stage.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. I think there were just comments, if I'm right in saying, from Councillor Clark. It's going to come back through the committee structure by way of a consultation report, but I've noted your comments there. Thank you. And also your declaration of interest, Karen, in Warren Point Harbour. Okay, so are we happy enough to move on? Sarah, was there a proposer and a seconder for those? I don't think there was, wasn't there?
There was for the accuracy, but there would need to be another proposer and seconder just because the minutes have been amended there.
Amended. Okay, do we have a proposer and a seconder for that? Proposer by Councillor Savage and a seconder by Councillor Andrews. Okay. Happy enough, then we move on. So the next minute we're going to look at is the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources meeting from the 11th of June. So if we're happy enough to go through those page by page for accuracy initially, so page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, and page 10. I see Councillor Finnegan is in there with a question. Councillor Finnegan, does it relate to the accuracy of the minutes, or is it a matters arising?
It's matters arising.
Okay, are you happy enough to hold off and I'll come back to you?
Yeah.
Councillor Savage, are you proposing the accuracy?
Yes, Chair.
Okay, thanks. Barrow Murray, Councillor Murray, are you seconding?
Yes, I am, yeah.
Lovely, thanks very much. Okay, so back to matters arising then. Councillor Finnegan, do you want to come back in there?
Yeah, it's just on the cafe licensing. So after my initial inquiries as to how the street cafe on the then Minister of Communities, Deirdre Harvey, wrote to all councils, including Newry, Mourne and Down, on the 11th of June, just stating that her department was working in support of this.
Councillor Finnegan, I think that's maybe the other minute. This is the PNR from the 11th of June. Is your one maybe relating to the special PNR?
Maybe so, okay. So yeah. Whenever it comes in, could I get in on that then?
I'll bring you back in at that point. Yep, no problem.
Thank you. Lovely.
Okay. Thanks. So if we go to Councillor Stokes, do you have a question there?
Yeah, Chair, now you put that in my head. I want to make sure I've got the right SPNR now. thanks, Chair. No, if I'm right in saying that we took a decision at the SPNR, Chair, that we would review our capital priorities now in next month. At that, if I'm right, that's the right meeting, I think.
Yeah.
No, thanks, Chair. I think it it's very important that we take that seriously, the whole council, sure. I mean, COVID-19 has changed everything, and without doubt. And in fact, you know, COVID-19 could be with us forever in some shape or form. I mean, with the other coronavirus, the common cold, we haven't found a cure for it yet either. So it's going to be with us for forever. And we're living through, we've lived through probably the biggest world event, sure, that anybody can remember. Certainly that I can remember. So, I mean, it would be a reckless local authority if we didn't, and reckless as councillors if we didn't have a serious look at where we are. You know, there's lessons been learned. We talked earlier about, I mean, the talk discussion about, yes, there's a need for physical meetings, but I think it also said that, you know, for example, you do all councillors need to turn up? I think one of the other councillors said at all times, the money that could be saved, not just with staff and councillors, you know, not meeting together all the time. So I think it's important we do learn the lessons and take some, you know, reflect on what we've learned. I mean, certainly one of the things that came across locally in Uri, we already know there's a lack of open space in Uri. It was very much apparent in during lockdown when you couldn't travel that far to exercise, when people were complaining to us locally saying, look, you know, we really do need some council needs to step up and provide that open space. Again, our business community, Chair, have been very, very strong and vocal and appealed to us to push ahead with the project at Albert Basin. They're saying it will generate, it will bring people in the district or into the city, and who will then spend money. So there's a priority there, and we'll also need it again. I think we're already starting to do that, Chair. You know, I know, you know, the, in terms of is the big office block, is it a thing of the past? You know, we need to look at that. Again, we're in private businesses already. I'm experiencing my own family at the moment. Where my brother would have worked in Dublin. He's been told he can work the bank he works for told him to prefer him work from home because they're relocating offices and they recognise they don't need to pay the big premiums they're paying for their current offices in Ballsbridge. So I do think it's time for really an open, honest, and frank discussion with ourselves and everything. You know, let's be honest with each other. And when we do sit down and try and learn, there's huge lessons to be learned from COVID. So I think going forward, I would appeal that we do that. Thanks, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Stokes. I think Councillor O'Mara, are you in next there?
I am indeed, yeah. I was just sort of in the same vein as what Councillor Stokes was going on about there. You know, what he's suggesting is that we carry out a review of capital project coming ahead. That's exactly what was proposed and seconded. Proposed by his colleague, Pete Byrne, and seconded by myself. We touched on this at the SPNR meeting. I don't think that this is the place for this debate. His best buddy has a motion coming in on this very shortly. The review of capital projects will take place. That's all right. That's all I have to say.
Fine. Can we move on, Councillor Byrne? You have a question there?
Yeah, just to clarify on SPNR on page 7. Yes, we did. And I understand, like every other councillor, every other officer and every other member of the public right across this district, how important it is to look at the detailed analysis of the council finances and how we revisit the capital programme. And I think the vehicle for that is an SPNR, and we have to look at the expenditure as is outlined, both revenue and capital, is why I proposed to the SPNR, because there is going to be a big impact from COVID-19, but once we have the figures sitting in front of us, we can make decisions on the capital programme, and that's the place for that is SPNR. So, yeah, there are going to be difficult decisions to be made, and we're all aware of that, and I don't think we should be jumping the gun on any of those decisions, but certainly at SPNR, I think there was a everybody was on board. I don't think anybody at the meeting spoke out against it, to look at all our finances, look at all our capital programme, and let's make decisions again. We're looking at the rates process all again. This is nearly back to the start, and it's going to be a very, very important meeting at SBR in August. So, yes, just to clarify that that's the decision we did make.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne. Councillor Savage?
Yes, Chair. Just really to echo the sentiments of my two previous colleagues, but maybe to emphasise the fact that from our own party's perspective, we now see the development of the park has been crucial going forward, has been the lungs of our city, coming out of what has been a very troubling 16, 17 weeks in relation to the COVID pandemic. And it has emphasised the need for us to create an open space for our people and for our citizens across the district and our city. And, you know, I think it's important that we look at that through that lens of what is the priority for us at the moment in looking after the well-being of our people.
and I certainly would be advocating that we look very strongly at moving on the park project. That certainly is as a priority from our party's perspective, and I think we'd be looking at it from that perspective as we look and review everything, because I believe everything has changed in the last number of months in relation to need, in relation to outlook, in relation to societal behaviour and how we do business, and I think that it's only right that we do that at the SPNR next month. And certainly I'd be going at it with the view that we should be pushing on with the park as a priority to create that open space for the lungs of our city and our citizens. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Councillor Riley?
Yeah, thank you. I would just like to ask Marie and Connor, in terms of capital spend, do we have actually any shovel-ready or spade-ready schemes that if additional funding does become available from central government, from the Exchequer, that we could utilise? Because it does seem that there are going to be significant funds made available for schemes of that type to try and drag us out of recession. And I'd be very interested to know what we have ready to go.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Marie, could you come in there?
Chair, we have an extensive capital programmes list. As to comment on the shovel readiness of every one of them here this evening, I couldn't, so I would suggest we will look at that as part of the SPNR review of capital projects, as has been discussed by members already. We have been approached in recent weeks with potential funding opportunity through DFC, through DERA maybe, I can't remember, and where we have a project that's ready, we put those forward. So we do, so it's very important that we do keep moving the projects forward to make them at least shovel ready for that purpose.
Okay. Thank you, Henry. Okay, if we move on then, folks, to the Active and Healthy Communities Committee on the 15th of June, and again, page by page for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, and page 7. And I see that Councillor O'Meara has got a P in there. Are you happy to propose those for accuracy, Barra?
Yeah, happy to propose.
Thank you. And John, is that you seconding that?
Happy to second.
Okay, many thanks. And if we go back in, any matters arising from the AHC minutes? Councillor McAteer, you want in there?
Yes, sure. Yeah, I've had a few queries. I know, I think page 5 on the specifically on tennis courts. So I know we're heading into July now, but it does state here that the 1.1 was a query was coming through from a few people. It's remaining closed. So can maybe some of the officers listening in give me some indication as to when that facility is opening?
Okay. Thanks,
and it's just another clarity around hire of outside pitches. I mean, there seems to be a bit of, well, I would deem it confusion about the hire of pitches to specifically GAA clubs, where the officer or someone was speaking about you can't play any in-house games as such. And I know the clubs were of the opinion that once social distancing in-house was being adhere to, then that should be okay, you know, because they're able to do it on their own grounds. So I just wanted some sort of clarity on that.
Thank you. Declan, I'll bring Michael in there. Michael, are you available to comment on those two questions?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. In terms of the tennis courts, our tennis courts will be open for casual play from this Friday. That's those tennis courts which can accommodate bookings for the track and trace system. As you know, the council can't just open all these courts and let people come in and play because we're expected to comply with track and trace to help the NHS combat COVID-19. So in all those facilities that we can accommodate that in, the courts will be open. I think the question was specifically around Warren Point, which has remained closed because we don't have a tennis club working out of there. But up until this point, we've been relying on tennis clubs to deal with those issues for us. But from this Friday, that will be able to open. I know that we are keen to talk to the tennis club there about them playing on that facility as well. And we have had a number of requests. Bookings can be taken through the town hall. I think that's how it normally works there. So that can be accommodated from this weekend onwards. In terms of the grass pitches currently are closed for their summer maintenance, which happens every year. We don't allow training on our grass pitches, and
it would not be our intention to open grass pitches until September, which would be normal. However, this was asked of party reps, and I said where there are individual cases, we're quite happy to take those on their own merits and see if we can accommodate clubs who wish to play matches on the tennis courts or on the football pitches. So we will try and do that on a case-by-case basis, but we're not opening them due to the summer maintenance, which goes on this time of the year every year. I don't know, was there a question about indoors as well there?
Sorry, is it okay to go back in, Chair?
Yeah, sure, Declan, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Well, I wasn't asking the question about indoors, it was really about outdoor. Could I just clarify, Michael, just to go back to the constituents, the Warm Point one is opening for hire to individuals, not necessarily clubs, because this was the problem. These people were not members of a club.
So yeah, I mean...
And then yeah, just said to go back. Yes, on the issue of outdoor pitches, it wasn't outdoor training. Sorry, it wasn't training on them. It was in-house matches. But they were being able to play it according to the rules of the social distancing. So in other words, it wasn't a very competitive game. In other words, you know. So I'm just looking for some sort of clarity in that.
Okay, sorry. Thank you, Chair. If you're happy, I'll respond to that. Warren Point will be open for casual booking from this weekend, as will all the tennis courts where we can accommodate that. It's not in my direct control now. It's ERT who take the bookings through the town hall, so Conor Mallon might want to comment on that, but certainly in terms of the government restrictions, they have been lifted from this weekend onwards, so that should be able to be accommodated. The grass pitches, matches of any kind, competitive or otherwise, are allowed from, I believe it's the 17th of July. So from that point on, bookings can be taken. The issue is that as a council, we do not allow matches to be played during the summer normally, and because our pitches are closed for maintenance. What we will do is work with clubs on an individual basis to see if that can be accommodated. I know, for example, the GAA have said that matches of any kind shouldn't be played, but training should be ongoing. So I'm not quite sure which club it is or which area they want to play on, but quite happy to talk to them and see if we can accommodate that.
Okay, Michael, I'll have a chat with you later on, if you're going on holidays. Thank you.
Thank you, Declan. Thank you, Michael. I think the next question was from Councillor Gibbons. Mark, do you want to go on ahead there?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, it's just a general, if Michael, it will be yourself maybe that might be answering this one. It's just a general concern or request. And the park, it's the same area that Declan has mentioned, Warm Point Municipal Park. As we know, over 6 months ago now, there was a bad fire in the playground area, and there just seems to be no movement regarding getting it repaired now. It's very understandable with COVID and everything that happened. Everything was put on hold, but could we have a wee bit of an update? And just it's well over 6 months now, so if we could try to get that that area of the playground back up and running again, if we could.
That might be an issue for Roland, is that correct, Michael? That may be.
Yes, Chair, it's not something I would be over at this moment in time. Roland's team would be looking after that.
Okay.
Can I come in and just respond to that, please?
Thank you, Roland, please, yep.
Yeah, no, Councillor Gibbons is right, there was a fire and there was vandalism at the park. We engaged with the original company who installed the park not quite recently before that, and we appointed them to undertake the urgent repair works. However, that happened just as COVID came upon us and they furloughed their staff. I'm glad to report, though, that they're now back working as of last week, and we're expecting some progress on that project, hopefully during August.
Thank you, Roland. Good morning.
Are you happy enough there, Mark? Yeah.
Lovely. Thank you, Laura.
Okay, thank you. Next, I think the point of information, is that correct, from Councillor Morris?
Yes, thanks, Matt. Thank you, Mr. Chair. It was just on Declan's point, just about the GAA pitches looking to use council facilities. It's something I asked at SPNR and at party reps as well. I've had a bit of joy, Declan, with Conor Haughey, I think it is, isn't it? Yeah, Conor Haughey. I've been working through him. There's one pitch in particular that a GAA club were willing to use, and it can be worked around all right, just like Michael says. So perhaps if you give him a bell, all right.
Thank you, Barrett. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks, Barrett. I'll be using it.
Councillor Terry Andrews, you're in next there.
I'm just still getting the hang of this stuff here. Thank you very much for your update. Michael, in relation to the open of indoor facilities and the nice swimming pools, has work been put in place for the eventual reinstitution of those services? And also, are we supplementary in relation to Kilmore playing fields? We've had issues in Kilmore recently that with broken glass, etc., on the pitches, and then with ASB and everything, and I'm just wondering could any further efforts be made to ensure that the playing fields are made more secure? And again, thanks very much for that.
Thank you, Terry. Michael, can you come back in on that one?
Okay, thank you, Chair. In terms of reopening of indoor leisure, as was mentioned earlier on, we will be circulating as soon as we have absolute clarity from the executive on the opening of indoor gyms, which we're currently awaiting that clarity on. We will circulate to you the opening plan. The opening plan as it currently sits is that in July from the 20th, we'll be opening our gyms, hopefully, according to the clarification. And in August, we will be opening swimming pools. So the swimming pools will be open from, I think it's the 7th of August. Initially, that will be for club use only. And later on, as we work through the different phases of the reopening plan, we will welcome casual users back in, probably through a booking system initially. You'll appreciate we have to be able to implement all the COVID safe practices in our centres, and we want to ease ourselves back into this quite gently to ensure that we can comply with all of that and keep everybody safe. So that's where we are with that. In terms of Kilmore playing fields, I know you had raised this previously. PCSP are looking at the issue of antisocial behaviour, looking at upping patrols and so on in that area along with the police. So quite happy to talk to you about that offline. But I know you've raised it before and we are looking at it through the PCSP.
Yeah, Chairperson, I would like to thank Michael for the update on the reopening programme and also to his work and help along with Roland and his department and issues affecting the players' case at Kilmore. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Terry. Now we have 7 more questions. You'll be glad to hear, Michael, so they're building up here rightly, so we can move on to Councillor McKee with a question.
Yes, thanks, Chair. Could I use this platform to ask when are the community centres going to be opening?
Yep. Can you, any idea, Michael, yet in terms of guidance from the executive?
Thank you, Chair. As was mentioned at party reps, there's no guidance from the executive yet on when community centres in Northern Ireland can open. Members will be aware that there has been guidance issued in England, and community centres in England can open, I think they're open now from the 5th. So in England, they can open, and guidance has been issued. We have seen that guidance. It will, in all likelihood, apply in Northern Ireland, probably with some tweaks, but the executive here have not made any announcement on opening community centres. We have plans in place to start opening those by the end of July, but again, we need to see clarity from the executive.
Okay.
When we can do it and how we can do it.
Thank you, Michael. I'm conscious that we are veering a wee bit from the agenda. Deputy Chair of Council, we're veering from the agenda, so when you bring things back again. So if we go on to Councillor Riley, Henry, is your question in respect of the current agenda in a minute?
Yes, Madam Chair. It was regarding tennis courts, and I've already mentioned to management about Kilkeel and Annalong, but because they don't have clubs, it's impossible to use. But when the courts open for casual use, there will still be no facility in Kilkeel or Annalong to book them. And I was going to ask, would it be reasonable to ask the KBA or the Maiden Mourne Group to facilitate us in doing the bookings? Because all you need is the name and address of the people that use the courts in case there is outbreak of COVID-19 down the road, so as to facilitate the track and trace. So it shouldn't be a very onerous thing to do, but I think in terms of equality and fairness, it would be very unfair if Kilkeel and Annalong weren't facilitated to open.
Thank you, Henry. Michael, have you anything to add there?
And Chair, quite happy to look at that. Obviously, once our leisure centres open, we'll have a facility for taking bookings there, and we'll move to open those tennis courts as quickly as we can thereafter. So that will happen. In the interim, quite happy to talk to those groups to see if they can help us in that regard.
Thank you, Henry. Councillor Savage?
Yes, Chair. This really is just an extension of what Councillor Gibbons had raised in relation to the play parks. I know we're heading towards reopening on the 10th. It was just really in relation, it's maybe more for Roland than Michael, but because it's tied in with the reopening of our leisure and play facilities. The likes of the Carrick McClone and Newtown Clog play parks that were just developed and ready to open just before COVID hit us, our kids in this area are champing at the bit to get using them, and I see they've been quite overgrown. The landscaping in that was planted at the time, for obvious reasons, has grown extensively over the last 4 months, so it's just ensuring that ahead of Monday, from a health and safety reason perspective, that the landscaping works are carried out in advance of Friday's opening. They may well have already been done. I didn't get a chance to check them today, but if we could flag that up with Roland and get an assurance that they'll be done before Friday.
Thank you, Michael. Clearly, if we could try and note those comments, I see if Roland can come back to you separately and we'll maybe try and move on down through the agenda, if that's okay, because we still have a number of questions here, folks, so maybe just keep them brief. And if it is something very, very specific, if he maybe might be able to take it up with the officer afterwards, unless it's something very pressing, I'm just conscious of time. Maybe move on. I think Councillor Lewis had a question. Does yours relate to the agenda, Alan?
Yes. It relates to the reopening of play parks right over the district. Is that okay?
Okay, yep, keep it brief.
It's probably a question for Roland there, but we're due to reopen the play parks on Friday, and I can certainly say that I have two young kids who are definitely looking forward to getting around, but have we undertook work to make sure that the play parks are safe and clean to reopen, to make sure there's no broken glass or antisocial behaviour that has been taking place within the play parks while they've been closed, and that they're not overgrown, and that some of the equipment hasn't been damaged in it. And what sort of precautions have been put in place to make sure that children and parents are safe while in the play park? Will the council make sure it's cleaned regularly?
Thank you, Councillor Lewis. I know this was discussed at party reps. I know that the council have been sweeping out and cleaning the play parks and stuff, but I am very conscious. I know I said yes to that question. We need to try and stick to what's on our agenda at this moment in time. So I think officers have been very much involved in that. We'll be doing some social media in advance of Friday in terms of what the obligations will be and the people using the play parks and what the requirements will be. But if we can move on, if that's okay. Councillor Casey, I think you're up next.
Thank you very much, Chair. To Michael again, something that he had mentioned earlier on there about the reopening of indoor leisure and including swimming pools, he mentioned maybe August. I reported an incident that had happened in the swimming pool about 5 or 6 weeks ago, where because the heating was turned down or switched off, there was a lot of damage on the tiles in the pool. Has that been repaired? How much did it cost the council? And are we happy enough that the contractor can pick up the tab on that one, because the same thing did not happen in the new swimming pool in Downpatrick. Thank you. Michael.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I can't talk about this in any great detail unless we go into closed session, obviously, because there's contractual matters and all involved in this. Suffice to say, it's been repaired. It wasn't directly related to us turning down the heat in the pool, but really, if you want me to go into any more detail, we would have to go into closed session. Here.
Charlie, can I maybe suggest that you and Michael link up afterwards? Would that be okay? And we'll try and move on. Yeah, okay.
I hear he's going away on holidays, or maybe before he goes on holidays.
make sure he rings you before he goes anywhere. Okay, we've got 4 more questions. That's if we can, I can ask members again, if it relates to what's actually in the minutes, that would be good, because we need to try and move things forward. Karen McKevitt, do you have a question there?
I do. Thank you very much, Chair. And it's to Michael. And you have mentioned one of your replies, the opening of the gym and our swimming pool. Can I ask what plans are in place to notify the direct debits that have been suspended for our customers when they go to use the pool? What notification have the council planned to give them for payment? Thank you.
Karen, I'm conscious of you. Is that in the minutes somewhere? I'm just... not wanting to be cranking down on you, but I just can't wait.
It was in a reply to the tennis courts and the booking, so it was in a reply that Michael had already talked about the opening up.
Try and just wrap things up. Michael, can you give a brief reply there, even if you want to maybe liaise back with Karen privately? Could that maybe try and move on down the agenda?
I'm happy to talk to the councillor afterwards or tomorrow at some point, but basically we will be in communication with those people who have direct debits. As you know, we haven't been taking direct debits since March, and anybody who still has time running on their March direct debit won't have to pay anything once we open the facilities.
Thank you, Michael. Is that okay, Karen? I think that Maria, Chief Executive, wants in here for a wee second, please. Thanks.
Yeah, Chair, I suppose just to say, I know members have a lot of questions regarding the reopening of our leisure facilities. We will circulate that information when we have it ready. As I referred to at the start of the meeting, we're waiting on some guidance from Stormont as well, so we will send that out to members in some detail as to what actually is happening, just hopefully if that helps people.
Thank you, Marie. I have three more questions here, and I really hope that these are relating to what's in the actual minutes of AHC. There's one from Councillor Stokes, Councillor Burgess, Councillor Traynor, then we're going to hopefully, and Councillor Walker, and then hopefully move on. Gary, you have a question there?
Yeah, just very, very, very briefly, sir. I know you just, swimming was brought up, but I was in touch with Marie and Connor doing a couple of things to do with Camel Lake, a fantastic council facility, and has been really, really well used, even though weather's not great at the minute, and I was in it myself this afternoon, and, you know, The people who maintain that site are doing a fantastic job at the minute. I'll leave it there, Chair.
Thank you, Gary. Councillor Burgess.
Thank you, Chair. No, Marie has just answered my question here. I'd be happy enough if the councillors get to know when things are going to be opened. I think it's a good idea. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Robert. And then John has said his question. That's fine. Thank you, John. And then maybe Councillor Walker, just to finish up on this minute, please.
Sure, thank you very much. Just a quick one to Michael. Michael, indoor leisure, you mentioned in relation to gyms and that. Killay has a small gym. Will that include Killay Community Centre being open along with the other gyms? And one quick question on Sinfield. Sinfield is run, as you know, by the Sinfield Development Association. They have a bit of a trust there run that. Are they following the same guidelines as us for the opening of community facilities in the area, such as the Ballinahinch Centre, the Bridge Centre, and the Sinfield Centre?
Is the Billy Bar open?
Let's see, does Michael want back in on that question? Then we'll try and move on there. Councillor Walker, have you anything to add there, Michael?
Chair, I've got very little to add. We don't have any clarity on opening community centres. It's not our intention to open any part of any centre until such times as we get clarity around that. I know it's not a terribly satisfactory answer, but that's where we are, unfortunately. We will open it as quickly as we can once we get that clarity.
I appreciate that, Michael. Thank you. And that will be circulated to all members. So if we're happy enough then to move on to the Neighbourhood Services Minute of the 17th of June. And again, we'll go through that for accuracy. So page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay, and we've got a proposer proposed by Councillor McKevitt and seconded by Councillor Owen for accuracy. Thank you. Councillor Andrews, do you have a question you want to put in there on matters arising?
I definitely do. Chairperson, just more or less in relation to dog fouling. I've had a lot of constituents in contact with me about dog fouling, and over this past few months of COVID, how the problem has worsened. In relation to council bylaws, I would like to make a proposal that we do review our council bylaws in relation to dog fouling, that we should look into the possibility that we should be in a position to name and shame offenders, and maybe this would act as a deterrent to future re-offences. I just think it's very, very important, and also that we should have more resources, and maybe when we are looking into the RITS programme, that we should be looking at this service to get more people recruited or else deployed to county department. And also, I like the fact our existing enforcement staff, they are doing a fantastic job in light of the circumstances. So that's just in relation to the dog fighting. And also, I'd like to commend all our staff who've worked tirelessly over the past since March on the refuse waste collection and everything, and to our management team, they've worked 100% to making sure that our frontline services have been delivered in such difficult circumstances.
Thank you so much, Terry. I suppose just to clarify, is that a further proposal or is that just adding to the current proposal that's already there? Do we need to put that through the proposal in a second, or are you content with the minutes?
Well, what I would do is, I'm content with the minutes, but I'd like to make that a proposal that we do review the bylaws, and if we have the power to amend those bylaws, that we should consider the naming and shaming a suitable fine that would act as a deterrent also. Thank you.
Okay, so that is a proposal then. I see Councillor Lewis, are you seconding Terry's proposal, is that correct?
Yes, I am, yeah. Look, it's just all through this past number of days, particularly in round Dundrum along there, the main street, and School Hill and up to Castle Hill, there has been countless reports of dogfouling, which is increasing because of the recent COVID lockdown, and if there's anything this council can do to take this issue seriously, I'm really looking at bringing this to an end, because local residents are getting at the end of their wits here.
Absolutely, and I think it's a district-wide problem as well, so thank you for that. Okay, so is everybody in agreement then with the proposal that was by Terry and Councillor Lewis? Okay, I take that as yes, so we'll get that noted then. And then, so we've got another question, I think, from Councillor Casey.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe I've missed this already over the last week or so. It's to do with the recycling centres. Are we back to our full quota of opening hours? That means Saturday as well. And what about the restoration of the bulky collection, Chair?
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Casey. I don't think we are yet, but I'm bringing in Roland to be able to have all the information. Roland, can you respond to that, please?
Yes, Chair, thank you. We are still working through our recovery plans for both HRCs and for bulky collections. Our HRCs are now open 5 days per week for seven of the sites and 3 days per week for one of the sites. We still have to put additional resources in to undertake the operations at the sites, which is impacting on the opening days and the number of sites. But we are working through that process. We hope that we can see improvements in the coming weeks. And that will also be the same for the bulky collection. Again, we're working through a recovery plan to get that operational as soon as we can, albeit I can't confirm a date at this time.
Thank you, Roland. Charlie, are you content with that response for now?
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we move on to Councillor Traynor. You have a question?
Thank you very much, Chair. It's just actually in relation to the dog fund again, Chair. Very happy to see that there was a proposal brought from Councillor Clark and Councillor McKee regarding the amendment to task the Assembly with reviewing of the legislation. It's very important that councils have the ability to deal with dog fouling, and if that means enhancing bylaws, then they should have the powers to do so. Just on a point, I suppose obviously there are some councils within the North that are extremely good whenever it comes to enforcement. I'm not saying that we're extremely poor, but there's others who are better. Maybe it would be worthwhile for councillors to talk to some of our neighbouring councillors, councils who seem to be having maybe some better results than ourselves. I note that ours in North Down have an extremely high rate of enforcement whenever it comes to dog fouling, and it's maybe worth looking and seeing exactly what they have done in relation to dog fouling, some of the campaigns that they've rolled out. I do know that, for instance, they would issue at times free tip scoops to residents, which could encourage people to pick up dog poo, as well as free bags at dog bins. So, you know, we need to be exploring all options, and we need to be looking across the North to see what other councils are doing in relation to dog fouling so that we can better tackle the issue. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Is that maybe a proposal for officers to engage with officers in different council areas, or is that...
Yes, sir. I'd propose that officers maybe seek out from other councils how they have tackled the issue of dog fouling and to bring back to neighbourhood services their findings.
Excellent. Okay, do you have a seconder for that, John?
I'd second that, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. So now
thank you, Terry.
And we're all in agreement with that? Yeah. Okay. So if we move on then to Councillor Hannah, you have a question there? Are you on mute, Glenn?
I'm just on mute there now. Chair, I'm really, really disappointed in this whole thing. I'm going a wee bit against the grain here. In January, February and March of 2019, before the election, I brought this whole thing to council before. We had workshops on it. Roland and Johnny McBride did a lot of work on this. And to be quite honest with you, we're no further forward today than we were then. What makes us all think this time we're going to be any different? Roland and Johnny did put a lot of work into it. With the workshops, they brought in experts as they did. We went through everything. Every one of these suggestions that I'm hearing today in this meeting, we've been down this road before. Can I ask Roland, do you think we will have any more joy this time round than the last time? I actually think the only option in this whole process is to start fining and put enforcement officers on the ground to proactively go and catch people. We do need to do this or we do wrong. The last time, there was one particular workshop up in Yuri where you had a guy in there and he said, I don't know, I forget how many, you only have maybe had to have a few people and 1,000 found to get the message out there. Roland, I think we need to get enforcement officers in there. We've been down this road before. I think it's a total waste of time. All these suggestions were suggested then, Roland. I want to see some action this time to sort it out. So what are we going to do this time different, Roland, than the last time?
Hey, Chair, if I can come back in there. Councillor Hannah is right. There was a lot of work done on this in the past, and some of the suggestions were looked at. There was a workshop, and there's been a lot of work put into the development of an enforcement improvement plan. That was most recently taken to a committee. It was probably before Christmas, I think. And the committee most recently in June, it was agreed that officers would look at that and bring that back to committee so that the committee can re-familiarise with the short-term, medium-term and long-term actions which we need to undertake. And again, a lot of the suggestions would be have been considered and would be considered as part of that process.
Just on this, Chair, I want to see some action this time. What Councillor Lewis says is the truth. Dundrum, Kilkeel, Newry, everywhere is the exact same problem. And just with this lockdown, people have been out walking dogs everywhere. The place is a mess at the moment. It is actually a health hazard now, so it is beyond unbelief. Roland, I really do hope you get a grasp of it this time. Get enforcement officers out there and get fines delivered to people that actually do not pick up after their dogs.
Thank you, Glenn. Your comments have been noted. Thank you. So we can move on then. Councillor McAteer? You were proposing something. Was that right, Declan? You don't have a question?
Yeah. There was.
Oh, you're on mute. You're on mute, Declan.
Sorry, just on the brain sites, you know, for the recycling. Mm-hmm. I just noted from the meeting that the one in Bourne was to close, but is there going to be sufficient space in the HRC centre in Warren Point then to accommodate that quite substantial amount of waste that there is there? In fact, it was overflowing. I had a reporter there a couple of weeks ago. So I just asked the officers, is that going to be built into the centre in Warren Point in some form or other?
Thank you, Jack and Roland. Could you take that question?
Yeah, maybe take a more general question on that, if you don't mind, as that item was considered in committee.
I just wasn't being specific.
Yeah. So we are looking at the numbers of the bring sites. Obviously, they will be maintained at the HRCs and other key locations. And of course, everyone can use the blue bin for the types of materials that you deposit at the bring sites. In essence, anyway.
Thank you, Roland. You happy enough there, Declan?
Well, just as long as the capacity will be replaced elsewhere, and I know appreciate. I'm not too sure about actually how it all would fit into the number of bins. It remains to be seen. But as long as there's someone thinking about the capacity that's left land in the HRC site in Warren Point, this happens.
Thank you, Declan. Can we move on then? Councillor Clark, you have a question?
I'm okay now. Sure.
Oh, you're fine. Okay, thank you, Willie. Councillor Walker?
Thank you very much, Chair. Just two issues. One, picking up on the bulky collections, and that I think that's something we need to get up and running sooner rather than later, because my own area here in Killay, and the enforcement officer would tell you, the number of stuff sitting outside people's properties for 3 months, a lot of this stuff has been paid for to the council. The people have paid their £10 to have it lifted. It's still lying there, and that some of it's starting to rust, you know, old cookers and stuff like that. So I think the bulky waste needs to be dealt with sooner rather than later. And in relation to the dog foul, we had a motion come forward to the council there a month ago in relation to this. I would like to know when the paper is going to come back to council in relation to what we're going to do. Councillor Hannah's right. In my time in council, I have brought 3 motions in relation to dog foul. We've dealt with them, so we have. There was supposed to be actions coming for them. Nothing was actioned. Other councillors have also brought similar motions. We've spoke about it. We're going to do X, Y, Z. We do nothing about it. We need to do something, because this is getting very, very serious. So it is. And that. Now, a couple of things that were suggested by myself years ago. I was one that pushed for name and shame these people. My argument was, if you're caught drinking in the street, your name goes into the paper when you're fined. Why could we not pass a bylaw that if you're caught and once you're given a fixed penalty, your name goes into the paper? So it does. Joe Bloggs' dog was caught in High Street, Killay. Put a bit in. And the other one was signage that Craigavon Council had before they merged. When they put a certain sign up in relation to dog fouling and that, in the areas where them signs went up, the dog foul went down by 95-96% in them particular areas. Now, they were simple things, so they were, and that they're particularly the signage, and it didn't cost an arm and a leg. It's simple things like that could help.
Thank you.
Resolve this. But I think we need to do something. We need this paper coming back from the last motion that Councillor Brown had brought forward. Because if we don't, we're going to be coming back here in 6 months' time or a year's time. Someone else will have another motion in relation to dog foul. We need to nail it now. And just one final point in relation to enforcement. They talk about Ards and North Down. The reason Ards and North Down are given so many fixed penalties out, they have a fistful of enforcement officers. We have one enforcement officer for this area here in the downside of Newry Morning down in that there. You know, he's fighting a losing battle, so he is. Out there, you can't be everywhere at the same time. But Ards has a fistful of them. That's why they're getting results when it comes to fines. But we need action. We need another paper brought forward.
Thank you, Billy. Thank you, Billy. I think that is the action that's going to go back to neighbourhood services with a full report, and then we can take things from there. But we appreciate your comments. Thank you. Can we move on then? Councillor Mulgrew, you have a question?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think at this stage I'm nearly delirious, because every time we talk about motion, I have sort of troubles myself. Since we seem to be deviating a fair bit tonight, could I maybe ask Roland and the officers at some point to bring back, or even to email out to all councillors, the number of successful penalties we have had issued throughout the council district for either, well, for dog fouling and also for illegal dumping, because both of them are a blight on our society and in heading into very stringent financial situation. I would like to see, you know, is it a case where it would be prudent for us to recruit another couple of enforcement officers and to get more fines issued and obviously send a message out and, you know, have a knock-on effect that people would get the message and stop dumping and therefore save us more money. So could I just ask that all councillors get that information emailed out to them so we can see just exactly what sort of enforcements are being issued. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We should get that arranged through Roland's department. No problem at all. Thank you. Okay, so if we're content with that minute, if we're happy to move on then to, do we need a proposer and a second, or does that change a bit in terms of matters arising?
Yes, please.
Okay, can somebody give me a proposal on a seconder in terms of the changes to that minute? Proposal are from Councillor McGuinness, seconded by Leanne McAvoy.
Sorry, it's Councillor One first for proposal.
Sorry. Thank you very much for keeping my Councillor Owen first and then Councillor McGuinness second. And thank you very much, Sarah. Okay. So if we're content then to move on to the special SPNR meeting of the 25th of June. And again, we'll go through for accuracy. So it's page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4 and page 5. Are we content that that is an accurate reflection of what happened? Can we propose her in a seconder? See, Councillor Sharvin, you're coming in with a question. Are you content to propose accuracy at that minute?
Councillor Taylor, first, sorry, for the question.
Councillor Taylor, sorry. And David, are you proposing the accuracy?
No, sorry, Chair, I wasn't at that meeting, so it wouldn't be appropriate for me to propose it. But I can wait for a minute. If somebody wants to propose it, I'll put my question on.
I'll come back to you. Aoife, were you at that meeting? Are you proposing the accuracy, first of all?
I'll wait. I just want to have to ask a question later.
Okay. So, Councillor Lewis, then, are you proposing? We'll work down the list here. And can we get a seconder for the accuracy of the minutes, please? Councillor Sharvin. Okay. Thank you. So we'll go back up then to matters arising. David Taylor, you have a question. Go on ahead there.
Yeah. Thanks, Chair. It was following on from a colleague, Alan Lewis. He had asked a question about bringing friends and border mummies. Following on from a recommendation for the Irish Bursary Fund. At the minute, I'm sure most councillors are receiving contact from groups that have obviously been asked questions about trying to, you know, facilitate events and, you know, programmes that maybe they had planned for. No expenditure to be spent on for money they received under financial assistance schemes. Now, there was, it did say in the minutes that this matter had been discussed within the rates process. Now, obviously, groups are getting correspondence, you know, from the council asking them, can they facilitate this or can they amend or what can they do? How on one hand can we ask that, and then, you know, later on down the line maybe possibly ring fence money? I'm concerned about the time frame and making the decision on something like that regarding other financial schemes, about how, you know, how quickly we can make a decision on that, because the rates process will obviously start earlier than it usually does, but some of the groups obviously need decisions on this fairly, you know, fairly swiftly. And it's just how we actually get around that issue if we do decide, for instance, to ring fence money before it happens if a group applied this year and they decide to extend the programme based on permission by the council. Where would we be with that, you know, in terms of the time frame that's outlined at the minute?
Okay, Councillor Taylor, maybe bring in Doreena there in response to that.
Yeah, Councillor, the thing is we can, I suppose we're trying as best we can to work with all areas of, and they're mostly arising in the financial assistance schemes. We understand the position groups are in. However, I would just caution all members, not until we get into the rates process and see where we are with regard to council finances. We cannot guarantee any budget for next year until we're much further into that rates process. So you'll see that was my advice that is minuted at the SPNR of the 25th. Certainly there was in this particular item, there was a desire coming forward from the working group, and that desire is noted within the minute, but we can't give any guarantees until we're further into the process of looking at our financial situation for next year. But that said, I suppose we have been given the messages out to all the groups that we will, as far as possible, try and work with. There's different circumstances for different schemes, capital projects versus revenue schemes, for example. So we just can't really give any guarantees at present.
Yeah, but sure, sorry, just to follow up on that, that helps clarify the situation in one regard, that given that it doesn't appear to have been in the minutes, so this actually isn't a decision to ratify ring fencing this. This is only a recommendation from the group that we are not, are we actually ring fencing the money tonight for the Irish Bursary Fund? I'm not against it, I'm not saying we don't do that, but I'm just asking a question. Based on what you're saying, we're not actually making the decision to ring fence it tonight, we're only making a noting the comments of the working group to do that. But that's going to be included for discussion along with the other financial assistance schemes. Is my reading of that accurate?
The recommendation that's in the minutes, you are being asked to ratify tonight an underspend for the Irish Language Bursary Scheme to be put into next year. But that said, no budget for next year will be agreed until you strike a rate in February next year.
Right. Okay.
Okay, David, happy enough? Okay, yeah. So in terms... Thank you. The next question is from Councillor Finnegan. Aoife, do you want to go ahead there?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I was a bit eager earlier, but just to reiterate and just what I was saying earlier is that, yeah, I welcome the proposals tonight in relation to the CAFE legislation. So after my initial inquiries as to how to move the issue on from Street CAFE and then the then Community Minister, Deirdre Harvey MLA, wrote to all the councils, including this council, Newry Morning Down, on the 11th of June, stating that her department was working in support to support town and city centres in the recovery. And she also encouraged councils to make more use of the existing pavement CAFE legislation and assured them that she was committed to working with the relevant stakeholders to resolve any issues that still remains around the implementation of licensing in terms of planning and guidance. I know myself working with all the businesses around the South Armagh area, in particular across the Glen and the surrounding area, they'll benefit from having this option, and I can't wait to see the places like the Square and Cross McGlen come alive again with people and families and the community as a whole back together socialising and giving our local economy a good boost. And whilst I see the importance to get the economy up and running again, I feel it can't come at the expense of restricting access of movements for individuals, in particular disabled people. So adding more tables and chairs for outdoor eating could put people with disabilities or mobility problems at risk if they have to walk onto the road or force people to break social distancing rules to get past. So in the past, I know it has been an issue that, you know, cluttered streets have been a problem for people in wheelchairs, buggies, and those living with sight loss and so on. However, I believe that working together with all stakeholders and considering everyone in our society, we can get the balance right. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Finnegan. I think actually the first requirement of the CAFE pavement licence is to ensure that, you know, it wouldn't be approved if it was a very narrow footpath. You know, there has to be, you know, enough room for buggies and wheelchairs and things to go past. So I think that would be the first criteria. So I think that an application of a very narrow footpath that wouldn't allow those access issues would be refused in the first instance. So I think that's a key part of the guidance and the criteria. Yeah, but listen, I appreciate your comments. That's great. If we can move on, Councillor Sharvin, are you next there?
Yes, thank you, Chair. It's on pavement calves and provisions of outdoor space. From discussing with local businesses that have made me aware of some issues that they have around the extended alcohol licences of areas that are not actually attached to their business. And I just want to seek clarity from our officers on is that something that we have control in, or I would actually believe it's a proposal to write to the Justice Minister, Naomi Long, for a steer on how we can support and facilitate such licence covers so that any of the areas that we as a council are thinking of giving a facility to a business to be able to do that would need this steer from the Minister. So if it is not for the Council, if an officer can clarify that, I actually would propose that we write to the Justice Minister, Naomi Long, for a steer on how we can move that forward to ensure that those spaces can be used.
Thanks a lot, Councillor Sharvin. I mean, Dorina, can you come back in there? Maybe Marie, I'm not sure which.
Chair, I'll take that maybe, or do you want to, Dorina?
I'll leave that with you, right?
When she unmuted, I thought she was going to take it. No, Chair, I suppose there's a couple of different things. The pavement cafe licence is one thing, and then the other proposal, which was the use of council land, and Connor can clarify this as well. Then, whereas council land, we would do that and have done that in the past where we have events and stuff. So what we normally do is we ask the licensed premises to transfer their licence to that area that the event is being held on, and normally we would sign something that would go through the courts at that point. So we can deal with it where it's our own land. If it's not our land, then that's a different matter, and then the pavement cafe licence is separate again. So like to write to the Justice Minister is okay, you know, we can just see clarity on it. But as I said, we're working with businesses that are wanting to look at our land, and maybe if Connor could come in just on that.
Yes, thanks, Chair. Yes, there is the three
options. There's also an option for an occasional license where the business can apply for an occasional license where they would get 30, it covers 30 nights or 30 events throughout the year. There's also the cafe pavement license actually extends their license into the new area, and that's why it's under legislation, and that's why it has a consultation process. For our land, we would just do it under a license agreement to allow them to avail of the council land for an event, the same as any other event. But again, the responsibility then for licensing would fall with the business who would be using the land. So that's the three sort of distinct options that are open. We have had some interest both for the pavement cafe license and the use of council land. It hasn't been huge interest, but there is a lot of expressions of interest. Very few applications, but that's the options that are open to the business. The simplest one is the pavement cafe license, because that transfers their liquor license onto the new area to allow them to serve drink. But there's no restrictions on them serving food without extending their license. So any premises that just wants to serve food and soft drinks, they wouldn't need any further licensing amendments.
Chair, if it's okay if I can come just back on that. So it's great, the clarity of what is there now and what enables businesses to facilitate and actually take advantage with the support of council. So maybe if we can get that clarity on where the property may be a government department's property or a private property from the minister, that would be fantastic.
Thank you, Councillor Sharvin, and maybe just to back that up as well, that whenever people are applying for the cafe pavement licence, if it is onto council land and a liquor licence is required for that extension, if there's guidance given even to the public, as if they can contact with the council, I think would be really useful as well. Obviously, the pubs, some of them are back open again now, and they're trying their best to firefight and be as busy as they can be. So if we can be a wee bit clear in terms of what the next steps are for publicans as well, I think that would be really useful too. Thank you, Councillor Sharvin. Do we need, I think actually Councillor Andrews are seconded your proposal in terms of writing off for clarity. Is everybody in agreement in that regard?
Yes, I fully support what my colleague has said, and I welcome the letter going to the Minister to seek clarification on a lot of issues which are vital to the trade.
Okay, thanks very much. And can I maybe then, that's all the questions in respect. Oh, sorry, Pete.
Catherine had a question.
Sorry, Pete, leaving you. All right, come on ahead.
Yeah, I suppose, Gary, come back with a second question, and then with your comments, share yourself, sort of clarify a few points. But I mean, when we brought this
sorry, Pete. Pete, you're quite low there. Do you want to turn your microphone
on? Can you hear me now?
That's
hear me
perfect. Now? Much better.
My microphone was on top of my head. yes, you came back with a few points there, and Councillor Sharvin came back in as well, which sort of touched on a wee bit of the things. But when Conor Mallon's talking about, you know, there hasn't been that many applications, I've been talking to a fair few businesses. I've seen very, very extensive plans in certain businesses in Uri that have yet to be submitted, because, let's be honest, they're only open 3 days over the weekend. They're trying to use the space that they have themselves before going out onto the public space, and they also need clarity. So I think what Laura had said there, what the Chair had said about giving the information to those businesses. First of all, with the cafe pavement licence, yes, there has to be disabled access, the footpath has to be wide enough, we're well aware of that. But people want to spill on to council land that is near their property. I'm not saying that a pub, say, in Cross Midland wants to go 2 miles out the road and then have a party out in Craigan or whatever. I'm saying they want to use the public space in the square. That means that they cross a public road. That's the reality of it. If we're going to try and support businesses in this area, we need to knock down every single hurdle that's in our way. We've looked at pictures down in the south. We've opened up on the 29th of June, but they've closed off streets. None of these hurdles are insurmountable. I mean, so we need to... These aren't proposals that are put to the committee in SPNR, brought to be ratified at full council and then left for the summer. We come back and we go out to constituents and say, well, we raised it, you didn't bring it up. I want to go back to the pubs and say, listen, yes, I know you think the paperwork is difficult. Yes, I know you think putting in the expression of interest and putting in an application is very, very difficult, but we want to help you every step of the way. And I want the same attitude coming from the officers. So if it comes to the point at, you know, a few weeks down the line where we can't extend licences on the public for safety measures because of safety of roads, that's fair enough. But let's exhaust all these avenues. Let's knock every single hurdle down. Occasional licences is brilliant. Let's start off with that and tell people they can apply for licences where they can have 30 events temporary. If people realise that, they will try it, like a pilot scheme. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but we can't come to the end of this process and say we didn't do everything to help the businesses. I personally can't just say it was good enough to bring the motion. We're going to keep hammering on about this until businesses actually take the opportunity. They mightn't take it straight away, but when they see one or two popping up and getting success from it, I think more will follow suit. So I think we should do absolutely everything possible over the summer to try and encourage businesses.
Thank you very much, Pete, and your comments there are noted. Okay, so I think we actually need a proposer and a seconder in terms of that minute because there's a slight change. Gareth, you proposed, and Declan has seconded. Okay, I think that's right.
No, Pete, I'm so sorry,
seconded. Too many P's. Thank you very much. Okay, so we move on to item 12. There was nothing referred from the Planning Committee, and then I intend to take 13, 14, and 15 all in the one go. They're just items for noting, and if everybody's content, then we'll maybe just move on. Okay. So we're going to start into the notice of the motion themselves. You would have received an email from Sarah, I think, towards the tail end of last week in terms of the motions that would be going be referred to committee. But as we know, there's just a process that we have to go with in line with the standing orders. So if maybe can we move to Councillor Una Hanlon, first of all, and if you're content to read out your motion. Do you have a seconder for that motion already agreed?
Yeah.
You do. Perfect. So if you want to read it out and then second it, then we can get that referred to the AHC committee, please.
Okay. Sorry, you were breaking up a wee bit there.
You go on ahead. Yeah, read it out there.
Thanks, Laura. That this council supports the Period Poverty Campaign and charities such as the Homeless Period and Red Box Project. The aim of these are to highlight the issue that sanitary products are not affordable for all females. As an initial step, that this council looks at the feasibility of the introduction of free sanitary products at all council public conveniences. We should strive to proactively help efforts to tackle period poverty and be part of bringing about such positive change. It should be the norm in schools, universities, colleges, workplaces, football grounds, concert venues for free access to sanitary product provision. We as a council will also write to the relevant ministers to ask for an update on the introduction of free products in schools and education facilities. Currently, the North is the only area of the UK where free products are not provided to those in need.
Thank you very much, Councillor Hannah. Leanne, I see that you're seconded the motion. Do you want to speak on it, or are you happy for just be referred to the committee?
Thanks, Chairperson. I just really wanted to reiterate what Councillor Hannan had said, and that I thought it was a great initiative and demonstrates positive change for the area. So I'm happy to second that motion.
Okay, thank you very much. Leanne, that's been referred then to AHC. So if we move on to number 17, that's a motion from Councillor Hannah, and line the standing orders, again, that will be referred to the Good Relations Forum. So if you're happy, just read out the motion and name the person you're seconding, and we can refer it on to Good Relations.
Councillor Walker will be seconding this motion. I'll read it out here, Laura. As next year is 2021, the 100th anniversary of the creation of Northern Ireland, nearly more than Down Council should seek to secure any funding from Westminster Stirling or elsewhere that becomes available in the current year or in 2021 to support events in the council area. I'm happy to propose that.
Thank you, Glenn, and Councillor Walker seconding that motion. That will go to the Good Relations Forum then. If we can move on to number 18, which is a notice of motion from Councillor Enright regarding coarse fishing, and in line with the standing orders, that will be going to the ERT committee. Cadogan, do you want to go on ahead and read the motion out and then name who's seconding your motion for me, please? You may be on mute. Hello, Cadogan. Are you there? No, we'll maybe just move on from his motion then. Is he there?
Sure, he's listed in the attendance as there.
He's a bit efficient.
Maybe just use this opportunity. Councillor Owen, you mentioned there about the break for the discuss the emergency motion. We'll read through these ones first of all. Whenever we get to the end of the ones that are on the agenda, then we'll break for 10 or 15 minutes to discuss that motion via party and then come back again to debate the emergency ones, if that's okay. Okay, so Councillor Enright isn't there, so we'll move on to the next motion, which is from
Sorry, Councillor Enright's back in, Chair, there now.
Oh, sorry, somebody muted you. Cadogan, do you want to go on ahead and read your motion out there and name who's seconding it, please?
I have unmuted Cadogan. He might need to unmute himself again.
Do you want to unmute yourself, Cadogan?
Councillor Enright.
Have a look.
Someone's losing me at that end, you know.
That's it, Cadogan. Okay, you read out your motion there, please.
Okay. Recognise the importance of coarse fishing to tourism and the local economy, particularly in the Coyle River, and noting the proactive approach taken by other councils in Northern Ireland to restock fish on behalf of anglers. This council will commit to fund restocking of fish in line with other council areas, carry out a review of coarse fisheries across the district, and work with DIRA and other councils to develop a best practice approach.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor Enright. Do you have a seconder for that motion? Patrick Brown. Okay, perfect. That will go to ERT. So if we're content to move on to number 19, which is actually a joint motion from Councillor Brown and Traynor on universal basic income.
Yes, thank you, Chair. So motion reads as follows. In the wake of the economic crisis caused by the coronavirus pandemic, this council recognises the need for a reformed, fairer welfare system that protects everyone in society. It recognises the need to provide economic security for all and invest in people to protect livelihoods and kickstart the economy. Therefore, it calls on the Departments of Communities and Finance and the UK Treasury to design and deliver a Recovery Universal Basic Income, UBI, for Northern Ireland. Additionally, this council supports in principle the investigation of a full permanent UBI for Northern Ireland, recognising the need for a radical overhaul of the welfare state and the positive impact that this would have on poverty alleviation, inequality and mental health in particular. Council will commit to producing a plan for how a pilot of a full UBI would be implemented within the district and formally expresses its support for said pilot.
Thank you very much, Councillor Brown and Councillor Traynor. Second in that motion, so that will be in line with standing orders going to the ERT committee. If we can move on to item 20 then, I notice the motion from Councillor Mason and Clark regarding the COVID recovery. Do you want to go ahead and read out that motion, please? And it will be heard by full council.
Thanks very much, Chair. But this council recognises the unprecedented impact the COVID-19 global pandemic is having on our society and economy, commends the invaluable contribution made by our frontline workers who have provided vital service selflessly throughout this pandemic, believes that a fair and just and green economic recovery strategy is required in the aftermath of this crisis, agrees that an economic recovery strategy must not only recognise but also demonstrate that we value our frontline workers and want to protect them and the most vulnerable. Through any impending recession, understands that workers' rights and public services must be protected, commits to existing economic challenges being tackled by a just and green transition to a more high-skilled, regionally balanced and sustainable economy which works for workers, their families and businesses, and calls on the executive to ensure that these principles underpin an economic and society-wide recovery guided by a social partnership approach involving government, trade unions, businesses and the third sector. I suppose, as we all know, the coronavirus pandemic has highlighted that we need to do things very differently. We need to learn lessons that from the past few months. We have watched as people have went above and beyond and done more than just their jobs to serve and protect our society. If we really want things to be different, then we must take appropriate action and make things different. We cannot simply rebuild what was there before. We must here and now plan for an economic and social recovery and put a strategy in place to do so. The outworkings of this crisis must not be further austerity from the British government. We should all be making an argument for an economic stimulus. Otherwise, the interventions to date will have been in vain and we will see escalating unemployment across our district, economic stagnation and even greater inequalities. We cannot go back to business as usual, where the rich stay rich and the poor stay poor. Everyone must have the opportunity to prosper. COVID has changed how we view things and the little things seem to mean so much more. Seeing our friends and families, visiting our places of worship and training with our sports teams. But it has changed things on a bigger scale too. How we work, the transport we take and the supply chain decisions. More decisions will also need to be made as to how our businesses operate and how we move forward to reopen our society. Our strategy for recovery must not just be about making things better for the economy, but for society as a whole and for our planet. The key principles for our strategy for recovery should be supporting our workers and families in terms of tackling low pay and supporting social enterprises, supporting businesses to create and sustain employment,
That's a strategy that protects our sectors like tourism and hospitality and secures jobs and a just transition to net zero carbon society. And I know that Councillor Clark will wants to expand further on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor Mason. Councillor Clark?
Yes, Chair, I'm happy to second the motion. I'm conscious that you're only allowed one motion at the meeting. So I'll begin by saying I would like to thank Cathy for moving the motion and say that there's only one way to respond to the social and economic challenges from the coronavirus and crisis, and that is to invest in a just transition for everyone, for all of society. And as we saw, the frontline workers, how important they were to us, and people on low wages, who are taken for granted most of the times. It was refreshing to see how valuable they were. We couldn't function without them. So I think it really put into perspective that we have to look after all of society and moving forward from this. And one of the ways to do this is by providing green new jobs. So how do we navigate out of this pandemic and shrinkage of our economy? Beyond the public health efforts of the NHS, as I say, I would like to thank all frontline workers and put on record Sinn Féin's thanks to them workers. Local government and central government need to prioritise decarbonisation and tackle inequality, which was laid bare in recent months, as I say. Our frontline workers, post-COVID, it's time to introduce a Green New Deal, in my opinion, where you have real quality jobs, good, clean, quality, well-paid jobs. I suppose the central government and local government can certainly fit into what the central government needs to do. But there has to be a substantial green jobs programme provided. The increase in unemployment levels post-COVID-19, after we come out of furloughing, the crisis strengthens, in my opinion, the argument for the provision of well-paid, sustainable green jobs. And there has to be a stimulus. Stimulus has to come from central government and trickle down into the council and all walks of life. But that stimulus needs to be based in around green jobs, and a green jobs programme would offer upskilling of workers and expand sectors in energy efficiency, green transport, reforestation, retrofitting of homes and tackling fuel poverty. An ambitious apprenticeship scheme needs to take place, because many people will have lost their jobs, unfortunately. So we need a tailor working with universities, working with our colleges. We need an apprenticeship scheme fit for purpose to bring us forward in the next generation. And green technology is one of the key points, I think, that new apprenticeships need to be working towards. And they would need support. We talked about this many times, about supporting a zero carbon society, renewable energy system, rapidly reducing fossil fuels. This cannot occur without the construction of alternative energy infrastructure. And it's not going to happen overnight, but we certainly need to be putting in building blocks now so we can move towards that green, new, clean economy. And we shouldn't return after we get out of the crisis, the pandemic, and we shouldn't return to carbon-intensive jobs that have suffered during the crisis as well. And maybe this is the time now we look at look at the oil industry and that who have suffered great losses. Maybe it's an awakening for them also that they will shift also into green technology as well and move to the future. I would say that the coronavirus has exposed inequalities beneath the surfaces of public life here, and there's a requirement for quality housing for all, access to green space. A number of speakers talked previously and during the minutes about providing that green space and the opportunities for people to enjoy the green space. Clean air, we've all noticed a better environment, nature healing itself. But we need an equal and a green society, and local food production is at the heart of that also. A lot of people have now got involved in gardening and growing their own produce. We need to build upon that, and that's healthy eating as well. We need to encourage that and look at allotments and community gardens and that green space as well. So, Chair, happy to second. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Just a couple of people looking in now. I think Councillor Sharvin, you're in there first.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. The SCLP will be supporting the motion. And we do recognise the unprecedented impact that COVID-19 has had on our society and especially the economy. And we would like to thank all workers, frontline workers and all those and the businesses that have really stepped up to the mark and continue to deliver for their local communities. You know, you actually look back and you see the council itself only recently has taken a step to delay car parking charges to support and, you know, bring our local communities and businesses back up and give them that help and step. There is many people still not to have received financial support during the whole COVID-19 pandemic, which include many of those that have been self-employed that were not self-employed for the period of time that was specified, and also our sole traders who have lost out significantly in this. So I would actually say the executive, and in particular the finance minister, must commit to work with our economy minister to ensure that support is there and available so that, one, they can survive, but also, two, that they can move into those markets that the previous two councillors have just spoken on. The executive also needs to be planning for recovery, but we need to note that some of the sectors, such as tourism, which is so vital to our district, actually depend so much on international trade, and that's still going to be affected even in the next short-term months, but could be into over a year. So consideration needs to be given around sector-specific furlough or support schemes for those to mature and develop. The two previous speakers mentioned about green space and everything. The Infrastructure Minister, Nicola Mallon, actually just launched pilot schemes, and Newry being one of them, to benefit from those green spaces that we're asking for and encouraging. So it's great to see that the Infrastructure Minister is actually ahead of the game already and is looking already at what a green economy can look like for Northern Ireland. But I also note that, you know, getting the economy back on its feet can be driven green and clean infrastructure, but we also need to invest in construction projects to get people working. We need to invest in NI water and our wastewater infrastructure to actually get houses built. That's what we need. Other areas that I think that we need a strategy, especially around green space and a green economy, is our local sports clubs, our mental health groups to support the crisis that we're facing within mental health, and also charity groups. So as I say, Chair, the SDLP fully support the motion as it is. There is so much work that our executive, the finance minister and the economy minister really need to work close hand in hand. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Councillor Sharvin. I think then Councillor Brown, you're in next.
Thank you, Chair, and our party will be backing this this motion. And you know, I don't think there's anything in there that any councillor can really disagree with, or any decent economist worth their salt either. I mean, it's certainly in terms of the aspirations that are in there, it is very positive. I suppose myself, as a very, you know, micro business owner working in the very unfortunate sector of international travel, I know as well as any the adverse impact that COVID has had on small businesses in the area. I suppose, you know, if I can make one suggestion, perhaps the reason that this motion is being heard here this evening is that there isn't that many practical outworkings here for council. And that is grand. It's an aspirational motion. It's, you know, motherhood and apple pie and so on, and that's dead on. But I would highly recommend that the proposers of this motion look in detail at the idea of a universal basic income, which will obviously come to the ERT committee in August, because a UBI does do an awful lot. It's not a silver bullet. It doesn't do all of those things, but it does an awful lot of what is being discussed in the motion and could have some practical outworkings within the motion that I've proposed with Councillor Traynor for the council to actually deliver on some of those. So I'd welcome a conversation
with the proposers of this motion prior to the ERT meeting around a universal basic income and how we can try and tie some of those themes around economic recovery together. But fully endorse the motion and thank you both for bringing it this evening.
Thank you, Councillor O'Brien. Councillor Taylor?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. We're obviously happy to support the motion. There's a lot of merit in the detail of the motion. And I would say that we would, obviously want to thank all key workers that have been involved in obviously protecting us and delivering services for us over this recent period, this recent challenging period. And there's no doubt, we've already faced many challenges over the last 3 to 4 months. But, some of the challenges that we've already had to encounter, we maybe haven't seen the worst of them, unfortunately, and particularly from an economic point of view, I have serious concerns about where we'll be maybe in another couple of months' time, particularly as we're going into early, late autumn time. I would say one thing, there was a comment about British austerity in the opening remarks, and I know that's a mantra that Sinn Féin used on a regular basis. I have to say, I believe that's very unfair, in this regard, because Rishi Sunak, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, irrespective of what your political opinion is in terms of the constitutional question, there could be no doubt that the Chancellor of the Exchequer has stepped up to the mark here in terms of the level of finance that the Exchequer has provided in recent times that have allowed the protection of jobs, schemes that have been undertaken to support businesses and the like. And I think it's unfair to make that comment. I have to say, the UK government, whilst they're far from perfect, there's many criticisms I can make of them, but in that regard, there hasn't been any indication about austerity. In fact, there's been announcements about even further investment going forward to try and keep the economy going, to try and drive it forward to let it grow again. And the executive will have a role to play in how they distribute money that's given as well locally. I have had concerns even about, and it's already been mentioned, about local businesses, for instance. There has been, great support offered in many regards, but there has been some people that have been left out. And there's also been an underspend in some of those schemes that have been produced by the executive. And to me, that underspend should be directed towards those that haven't been given support so far, particularly in terms of businesses and employers. But listen, we're happy to support the motion. It's a lot of merit in the detail of it, but I'm just conscious that some of the remarks that were made there about British austerity I wasn't happy with, because I think it was unfair, actually. But I think as a council, we will have a role to play in driving economic prosperity forward going forward. We have a role to play in protecting as many jobs as we can as well. We must look at the role that we can play in that. But I'm sure everybody will endorse what's been said here tonight in terms of the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. And then Councillor Walker.
Chair, thank you very much. Our party will also be supporting the motion. There's a lot of good points within it. And one point as well, picking up from Councillor Taylor, I don't like that type of language either in relation to the British Exchequer. I believe that the British government has stepped up to the mark right across the board, in dealing with this. I also want to pay tribute to our frontline services and our staff and that there and our hospitals and our health clinics and all. And not just that, also our community groups that's out there, and a lot of key workers are living on the minimum wage. In this day and age, I think it's wrong. They're doing long hours to try and make a decent wage and that. And I think in down this route, maybe help them. And in relation to frontline workers, I'm going to take this opportunity to commend my party colleague, Councillor Catherine Owen, who answered the call in Craigavon and stepped up to the mark and returned to frontline services to help people. And I'm sure the rest of you would agree with that there. She did step up to the mark. She put her own family on hold for a number of weeks, and I commend you, just like every other one out there that done the same. But we support the motion.
Thank you very much, Councillor Walker. I think we all couldn't agree more in terms of what Catherine had given up to step back onto the front line. If we can maybe then move on to Councillor Traynor, please.
Thank you very much, Chair. And it would be very difficult to argue with anything that's been said by any of the previous speakers. I suppose whenever we look at COVID-19, One thing that it did do was it highlighted some of the issues that remain within our society previously. And one issue I want to touch on just briefly, and looking at the recovery, this needs to be maybe brought more to the fore, is the idea of childcare. Because obviously we know that childcare is an extremely important issue that affects many people, whether it would have been before COVID or even now during COVID. In fact, COVID, I think, for many people, highlighted the need for childcare. I'm not a parent. I can't speak on it. I can only speak on behalf of what I've been hearing from constituents and friends who are parents and who have found it extremely difficult trying to work through COVID without having that service available to them. But I suppose what I'm trying to say is childcare can be unattainable for some people. And so I think we need to look very seriously about some of the proposals that were put forward previously around free childcare. And I know that some of my colleagues have made the call in the Assembly for 30 hours free childcare, and this is an issue that we need to seriously look at now and see how that will unlock the potential for people to return back to their jobs post-COVID. Thank you, Chair.
Absolutely, John. If we can move on then to Councillor McAteer. I think you're the last councillor looking in there.
Yeah, yes, just listening to the discussion and looking at the sentiments behind it. Of course, I'll be supporting it, but I just can't help thinking that back to the nurses' strike, which settled in January. Don't forget that their parity wage was sent over from Great Britain, but was denied by the previous Minister for Finance and indeed the Executive. So we can't forget at the end of the day very, very quickly, and we hope that the proposals of this motion will certainly ensure that this does not happen again up in the Executive. So it's just to make that point, that those nurses had to go on strike to get money that was already sent over but wasn't proportioned to them when it arrived here.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer. I think everybody's had their say in terms of the motion. Let me hand back to Councillor Mason to sum up if possible.
Sorry, it's come off yet. I take on board everyone's comments and thanks very much for supporting the motion. I think it's really important that we remember that it's not just an economic recovery, that we have to take on board the social and also the green aspects as well. So thanks very much for your contributions.
Okay, folks, I think by everybody's contributed so far that everybody seems to be in agreement. If that's any different, you can comment there in the instant message. So hopefully then we can move on and that motion is passed. So the next motion then is number 21, which is Councillor Clark's. Will he align with that in order that would be going to ERT? But if you want to go ahead and read out your motion and name your seconder, please.
Yes, Chair. Thank you. I'll read the motion. Whilst this Council recognises the strategic importance of sustainable tourism as a local economic driver, it notes with growing concern that the increasing numbers of visitors to the district is creating stress on our local environment, including many areas of ecologically sensitive importance. In recognition of this, this Council will bring forward options towards the establishment of environmental wardens, including delivery model, resource implications and partnership opportunities with existing organisations. And Councillor Mason will be second the motion.
Thank you very much, Willie. That will be sent then to ERT. So if we're content then to move on to the next motion, motion number 22 from Councillor Malone. Gavin, do you want to go ahead and read out your motion there and name who's seconding it, please?
Yes, thank you, Chair. It's quite lengthy, so are you happy enough for me to read this out?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, no problem. Firstly, I would like to congratulate all those community volunteers who, during the COVID-19 pandemic, carried numerous...
Sorry, Gavin. Sorry, you just read out the actual wording of the motion that's on the agenda. It's not being heard tonight. It's going to go to the SPNR committee. So if you just literally read out the actual motion that you've tabled.
Yeah, well, hold on 2 seconds.
Yeah, in terms of standing orders, you just literally read out this. The council recognises...
Yes, I haven't seen that. I just haven't got it in front of me, Laura.
Is it on your minute pad there?
No, I can't find it here.
Councillor
Malone. Sorry, proceed, Anna.
Councillor Malone, you have to read what was submitted on the agenda. Have you got access to your emails there?
I have, yeah.
There you go. Sarah's just emailed you, so you'll have the wording that's on the agenda.
That's brilliant. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Gavin. So whatever you get that, if you can just read that
That's
out.
Brilliant. Thank you. Yep. The Council recognises that society has changed fundamentally within the last 4 months and that there will be most likely be a start times for many residents of our district for the foreseeable future. The council also recognises the new financial realities in the time ahead for us as local authority, and therefore it is now time to postpone any further work on the proposed new civic centre project for the remainder of this term. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Malone. And who's seconding that motion?
Councillor Brown.
Okay, so that will be referred then to SPNR.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So move on then to item number 23, which is a notice of motion.
Sorry, Laura, Councillor Brown has asked a point of order.
Sorry, Councillor Brown, what's your point of order there?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just given the nature of Gavin's motion and the fact that it won't be heard until August, I just wanted to seek the opinion of the Chief Executive or Senior Management Team on whether all resource and time spent by officers in the development of the Civic Centre project will now pause until August, given the nature of this motion and the fact that it hasn't been considered yet here tonight.
I'll just bring the Chief Executive in.
Yeah. Chair, as officers, we continue to work on all projects right across the capital programme. And when we bring the motion through in August, we will also have to give consideration to the contracts that are currently in place and the financial implications of any pause on those. So that would all need to be part of the consideration in August.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's another point of order then, I think, from Pete Byrne. Councillor Byrne, did you have a point there?
Yeah, and Chair, it is actually a point of order. It's not, you know, to make a comment on the motion, because I want to debate the motion as much as everybody else in August. But on the SPNR minutes, 20 minutes ago, we unanimously ratified the minutes for all councillors, all 41 of us, to revisit the capital programme in August with a financial report sitting in front of us. That decision then, you know, 15 minutes to then send officers off to do that piece of work, ratified by all councillors, not opposed by anybody, and then try and start picking up projects after that. I mean, it doesn't make sense. So you either go against the proposal that was made at SBNR or you don't, you know. So the point of order is that we pass that by ratifying the minutes of SBNR, and this debate will rightfully be had by all councillors and all opinions in August.
Thanks very much for that, Councillor Byrne. Okay, so if we're content then to move on to the notice of motion number 23, it's from Councillor Catherine Owen regarding the distribution of food waste bins. Catherine, just in line with the stamp notice, that would be going to Neighbourhood Services, but if you're content to read out the motion and name your seconder, please.
I am indeed, yes, thank you very much. Okay, so as this council is promoting recycling as a key strategic objective, we need to commit to how this is delivered operationally. Distribution of small brown bins for food waste throughout council area is an important part of achieving our objective by helping residents separate their waste. Under COVID-19 restrictions, normal practice of residents collecting these bins in person from Greenbank cannot occur at the moment or in the near future. To ensure effective delivery of this service, council staff should commit to the delivery of these bins to local areas and work with local councillors to support delivery of this service where practical. All bins just distributed should be to a recorded address, and Councillor Hannah is going to second this for me.
Okay, great, Councillor Owen, thank you very much. So that's all the motions have been dealt with for this evening, but there's two emergency motions, as you've been advised.
Sure, so we're going to Chair, sorry, because Councillor Hannah just hasn't put a second on the instant messaging, can we just have them confirm, just for the record?
Yeah, absolutely. Councillor Hannah, if you're content to second Catherine's motion, can you put a wee S into the instant message box, please?
Thank you.
Okay, perfect. Thanks very much. So, as you know, we've got two emergency motions before us this evening. We're going to take a wee 15-minute recess for people to consider those motions among their parties. And going forward, these will be circulated to all members in advance of the meeting. So apologies for that. So if I can maybe get a proposer and a seconder for the recess, and then I'll maybe hand over to Marie very briefly. So a proposal from Councillor Brown, seconded by Councillor Traynor, I think that is. Yeah, thanks very much to take a recess. But just before we do that, Marie, do you want to give a wee brief rundown about the procedure whenever we come back after the recess? Thank you.
Yes, Chair, thank you very much. I'll only keep this a wee minute, and apologies again for not getting those circulated. When we come back, we will look to stand down or to suspend standing order 16.1, and we will give a reason for that being the urgency of the issue and it's important to the district. And then we will ask for a qualified majority vote, where Sarah will call out the names of each member, and you will either be for or against the suspension of that standing order to hear the two notices of motion. and then we would just hear the two notice motion as you just did on the previous one. So, but if we take the recess, could I ask that everybody just mutes their mics and keeps and turns their cameras off, couldn't think there, but keeps yourself live on Skype so that we don't have to rejoin the meeting, and we would resume at 8:30. Thank you.
And Marie, just one question. If people want to actually have their own Skype meeting separately, can they run one alongside that, or do they need to close that one down?
No, you can run a concurrent one as long as what'll happen is you'll hang up. You'll not hang up, but you'll hold this call.
Okay.
So you can have a separate one on the side.
Okay.
I'm glad Sarah could answer that one.
hopefully it works like that. If we just ask if the press wants to stay on the call and any members of the public rather than dropping off and then having to be invited back in.
Okay, thanks for that clarification, Sarah. Okay, folks, are we all back on and ready to get moving on through the agenda? Well, welcome back to everybody. As you know, we've got two motions, emergency motions, and hopefully you all have time to have a wee read and digest them. I'm going to hand back over to Marie, who's going to outline how we go about proceeding down the agenda. Marie.
Helps if I unmute myself. Apologies, Chair. Yes, so we've two emergency notices of motion, one in relation to the emergency department in the South Eastern Trust area at the Down Hospital, and the other one in relation to the ambulance service. So I would ask that members under 16.1, you would have to give notice for the issuing of a notice of motion, but we are going to hear these, or it's been suggested that we hear these notice of motion due to the urgency of the issue and its importance to the district. So I would ask that members suspend the Standing Order 16.1, the notice of motion, and that needs to be done with a qualified majority vote under Section 40 of the 2014 Act. So what we need to do is Sarah will call each of the councillors out and then she will you can say you're for the suspension of that standing order or against the suspension of that standing order. Then you need to just bear with us because Drain is still going to do the calculation to make sure that we have the qualified majority, if that's okay. And Sarah, I've just received a message from David Telford. I think he has dropped off, or maybe he is back on again.
My screen
back on, as far as I can see.
Sorry, Chair, I'm just going to make sure that he is on.
Does he know to maybe hit the button to resume the call? Because he can't hear if he doesn't.
Apologies, Chair, I just want to make sure. Could you maybe invite him back in again, Sarah? Apparently he had to change computers. Maybe if we remove him from it and then put him back in again.
Yeah, no problem.
Apologies for this, Chair. He is apparently in the virtual lobby, Sarah.
Oh. Can I ask a question, if that's possible?
Yep, Catherine, depends on your question, but go on ahead.
Just while we're having a bit of a pause trying to get David in. Marie, can you explain to me exactly what, are we taking a standard order out to allow us to listen to an emergency motion? So, baby, speak to me like I'm a 5-year-old, I'm not really sure.
Okay, so basically it's within our standing orders, we have the gift of suspending a standing order for a reason, so which comes under 29.1. So I am advising that you can suspend standing order 16.1 to hear the emergency notice of motion as they are an urgent matter which would be important to the district and would require us to refer to an appropriate body or individual. Which is suspension of standing order.
What's standing order 16.1 then? It's
about the notice that you're required to give to actually have a notice of motion heard.
Gotcha. Right, that makes sense now. Thank you very much. Sorry about that.
You're welcome. Have you got him back in yet, Sarah?
I have resent him the link to the meeting. He hasn't come back on as yet.
Chair, David Taylor, I propose we move on to the meeting here.
Yeah, that's okay. We'll work on getting the press member back in if we continue ahead.
Chairperson, sorry.
Sorry, Terry. Hold on a second.
Ricky, I'll second that.
Well, it's okay. already been put down for proposed and seconded already. It's on the thread.
Yeah. So if we want to do the vote then, so Sarah, if you can call the names of the councillors, and it's for or against the suspension of the standing order.
Yeah, no problem. I'm just going to share my screen as well at the same time so that everybody can see the recorded vote as it's happened.
Thanks, Sarah.
Hopefully. Okay, Councillor Andrews?
4.
Councillor Brown?
4.
Councillor Burgess?
Not on the call, Sarah.
Sorry, he's left the meeting now.
Councillor Byrne? 4. Councillor Casey?
Are they maybe not back on, Sarah?
No, Councillor Casey's on there. He's typing it here. He would need to verbalise it for me.
Charlie, can you unmute your mic? Councillor Casey, can you unmute your mic and just indicate to Sarah?
They must be having another meeting somewhere. On Zoom or something.
The dog warden.
Feed that dog, Henry Riley. You feed that dog.
Councillor Casey, are you on the call?
4.
Thank you, Councillor Casey.
Councillor Clark?
4.
Councillor Clark?
Councillor Kern?
Councillor Kern is still on hold. Councillor Kern would have to rejoin him. He's on hold at the minute.
Sarah, if you want to go through the remainder of the councillors, I'll contact Councillor Kern and see if I can get him.
Okay, Councillor Devlin?
4.
Councillor Doran?
4.
Councillor Enright, I think, has dropped off the call. Councillor Finnegan?
4.
Councillor Gallagher is an apology. Councillor Gibbons?
4.
Councillor Hanlon?
4.
Councillor Hanna?
4.
Hart is an apology. Councillor Howell?
4.
Councillor Larkin?
4.
Councillor Lewis?
4.
Councillor McGuinness?
4.
Councillor Malone?
4.
Councillor Mason?
4.
Councillor McAteer?
4.
Councillor McAvoy?
4.
Councillor McKee?
4.
Councillor McKevitt?
4.
Councillor McMurray?
4.
Councillor Mulgrew? Councillor Mulgrew. Oh, has dropped his on the call. Councillor Murphy?
4.
Councillor O'Hare? 4. Councillor O'Murray?
4.
Councillor Owen?
4.
Councillor Riley?
4.
Councillor Wan?
Bring back Terry Hartley, for goodness sake.
Councillor Wan, you just need to unmute your mic.
Bring back the reality meetings.
Councillor Rowan?
Sarah, if you want to move on, yes. I contact Councillor Rowan.
Yeah, Councillor Savage.
Four.
Councillor Sharvin.
Four.
Councillor Stokes.
Four.
Councillor Taylor.
Four.
Councillor Tinnelly.
Absent.
Oh, he's dropped off. Councillor Traynor.
Four.
Councillor Walker.
Four.
Okay, Councillor Kern.
Four.
Okay, and Councillor Rowan.
Sarah, Councillor Rowan's going to join now in a sec. Just.
Okay. Yeah, Councillor Rowan's on now.
Councillor Rowan is on, but he has sent for Sarah, but he can't be heard.
Okay.
I can't see why not.
For what would that do?
I removed him from the meeting and put him back in again, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Marie, we can hear.
We can hear him through your
phone. So if you want to speak up a wee bit, we could record it for the tape through your telephone.
Okay. If you want to speak up, apparently we can hear you through the telephone. So if you want to say that, Mickey, that'll get you a smith.
Yeah. Okay.
Four.
Okay.
I heard that.
Yeah. Okay. The 35-4. There's none against, there's no abstentions, and there's six absent.
So that's 100% of those present and voting?
Yeah.
Okay. That satisfies your qualified majority vote.
Okay, Sarah, thanks very much for doing that. So if we content now, we move on. The first motion will be the one regarding the Down Hospital. It's a joint motion from Councillor Hanlon and Councillor...
Sorry, Councillor Walker has a question.
Oh, sorry. Yep, Councillor Walker.
No, sorry, it's just a question after the motion's raised.
Okay. No problem, Billy. So if we can maybe pass over to Una and John then, whoever's going to read the motion out first, please.
Yep. John, you're okay for me to go ahead? Well, thanks firstly for taking the emergency motion, and thanks to Councillor Traynor for seconding it or going in as a joint motion. So just to read it out, this council supports the reinstatement of NHS at the Down Hospital. We recognise the tireless dedication and hard work of all the NHS staff during the COVID-19 pandemic, which is still ongoing. This council, however, notes with regret that the South East Trust have not been able to provide a date for the restoration of the emergency department, /A&E. Further regrets that hospital staff, local representatives, nor the local community were consulted about the introduction of a 7 days a week minor injuries unit. We will write to the Minister for Health to request urgent intervention and to make immediate plans to restore all services at the Down.
Thanks very much, Una. John, did you want to come in there as well?
I don't know if Una's finished her introduction on the motion.
Sorry, I missed part of it out.
I know that you've read it, but I don't know if you want to speak on it, because it'd probably be easier. Sure, I don't know if Councillor Hanlon's able to speak on it now, and then I'd come in after.
Yep, that's so, fine. Whatever works.
Well, it's just to say, obviously, that we are going to note our disappointment that staff haven't been consulted with regards to a date. I would note, obviously, from recent meetings that the Southern Trust were able to provide a date for Daisy Hill, yet down at this side of the constituency we're left wanting. It's just not acceptable that there's no A&E in this part of the constituency as well. So I don't really have much more to add than that.
Thanks very much, Una. And then, John, do you want to come in?
Yeah, no, perfect, Chair. And second, the motion. I suppose, Chairperson, firstly, it is extremely important that we recognise the tireless dedication and hard work of all the NHS staff and those working within our healthcare sector during the COVID-19 pandemic. Without these people, many of our loved ones would not receive the care we so wish for them. We find ourselves in the regrettable position and where a motion had to be brought before Council this evening to call on the Minister to intervene to ensure the reintroduction of services at the Down. At the outset of the COVID-19 pandemic, the Trust, in ensuring there was a robust response to COVID-19, had made what were temporary changes to service delivery based on regional modelling which predicted thousands of deaths. The public accepted and supported this, recognising the dangers that we faced having seen COVID rage across Europe and China. Assurances were made that when it was possible to do so, services would be returned. In the past month, many elected representatives have asked the Trust to provide us with a date to which they were working to deliver on these assurances. We have seen other Trusts bring forward plans for phasing services back, with the Southern Trust recently given an indicative date for the return of accident emergency to Daisy Hill. On Friday, I and Council colleagues sat in a health working group meeting where yet again we were told that a date could not be given. We questioned why the Southern Trust could give an indicative date for the reintroduction of services, and yet the South Eastern Trust could not. We listened as we were told that the Trust plans were based on regional strategic framework, yet the Minister, whilst in the Chamber, had stated that such decisions were local decisions for each Trust. For 3 months, the people of South Down, Newry and Slieve Gullion went without local emergency cover, either having to travel to Craigavon or Dundonald. And this is an issue that will also need to be addressed with those in the Trust and the Department hierarchy, especially when we review the measures that were taken in initially dealing with the pandemic. The inability of the Trust to provide an indicative date, seeming a slap in the face of the trust that was given by the public back in March, April, when changes were made. We were told that services would be phased back, beginning with the minor injuries unit. This only gave rise to suspicion that the Trust would not honour the assurances given previously, as the date was still not able to be given for the full reinstatement of service as per pre-COVID levels. I do note, Chair, that since our meeting on Friday, where we were emphatically told there could not be an indicative date set, that there is now, miraculously, a date that can be set, and this will be communicated later in July. If such is the case, why was this not communicated to members at that meeting? Why withhold such information that could ease worries around the future of our emergency services? Given the timeline of events until now, it is important that the Minister makes a commitment to the people of Newry, Mourne and Down that he will work with those within his department and the Trust to ensure the full reintroduction of services at the Down as soon as possible, and that we are provided with indicative dates to which they are working towards. This is what we have now required to restore public confidence. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, John. Thank you. And Councillor Walker, you're in there first.
Yes, thank you very much, and I welcome this motion tonight. Our party will be supporting the motion. Yes, I believe that there should be a date set for accident and emergency, but there's one thing that is annoying me. When this broke last week, we had the MP for the area basically stating that accident and emergency would not be returning. I have read a statement from the Trust saying that that couldn't be further from the truth in relation to it. I believe there's a bit of scaremongering going on here, and I don't think that that is helpful. Yes, I totally want accident and emergency returned to the Down, but I totally reject scaremongering for the MP for South Down in relation to this. And I know ones will come on after me and say it's not scaremongering. Well, the Trust is saying that services will be returned. Yes, we want the services returned yesterday. So I also would like to maybe make a small amendment to the motion, and that is that we just don't write to the Minister. We seek a meeting, whether it's a Skype meeting or whether it's meeting them in person. Now, I want to pay tribute to the Minister, because I believe during the COVID-19 crisis, Robin Swan has done an excellent job. We have had some politicians up in the Hill there criticising him. I, for one, wouldn't criticise him, because I believe he's done a tremendous job. I think we need to go and meet him, or meet him through Skype, and press for a return of A&E to the Down, plus other enhanced services. So I hope that small amendment will be accepted, that we go to meet him. But I am totally disappointed that certain politicians are spinning this for their own political gain. Now, I've always been a great supporter of A&E. When I was the last chair of Down Council, I led thousands of people through the streets of Downpatrick. I spoke from the platform. I even criticised my own minister then in relation to services to Down. I'm never found wanting when it comes to criticising certain ministers, but please, please don't be using the Down Hospital or any other hospital as a political football or for your own political gain. And that is a fact, so it is. That is a fact, so it is. But we are supporting the motion, and I hope that my small amendment will be accepted, where we speak to the minister personally.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Councillor Brown?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I echo the positive comments of those who have spoken before me, and would also agree with Councillor Walker that I think, you know, given the technology available to us in the new normal, it would be a good idea to try and organise some sort of Skype or Zoom meeting with Minister Swan. And I also think that it's very important that in that correspondence, and maybe this can be done via an amendment to the motion, or maybe it's something we put into our correspondence, we have to be very clear that we need a date as urgently as possible, and Councillor Traynor has alluded to that. I think it's very important that we push for that date as soon as possible. The fact is that constituents, ratepayers in this area feel like second-class citizens. They have been treated that way in terms of the health service for decades, but particularly in recent times when we look at the Southern Trust getting a date for restoration of their services, and you know, Lagan Valley, the next closest hospital perhaps, or smaller hospital in the area, has not been affected at all. I think it's fair enough that they feel like second-class citizens, and indeed, you know, are being treated like an appendage of the greater Belfast area, which is simply not good enough, especially if you live out in the rural parts in Ballyhornan or somewhere like that, where it takes well over an hour on pretty bad roads to get to Belfast. And I said this to the Trust at the meeting last week. You know, we're not just here calling for the restoration of the services that were there before. We want the services enhanced, and I think that should come across in our correspondence as well. We're not just looking for it to go back to normal. We want our full A&E back. We want as many services as possible in the area, and we recognise the importance of that for tackling health inequalities in the area, but also as an important employer driving the local economy too. And it's completely unfair that staff and healthcare workers from this area have had to travel up and down to the Ulster for weeks and months during this crisis. So thank the proposers for bringing the motion this evening, and we'll certainly be supporting it.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. Then we're up for Councillor Lewis is next.
Thank you. Can I just say from the outset that the Ulster Unionist Party absolutely supports the retention of the A&E at Down. We want to see it returned, and we want to see it fully operational as soon as is safe and the advice states that that's possible. Would also like to put on record my thanks to the staff, to the nurses, to the doctors, to the frontline staff, and indeed to the Minister for all of the work that has been done by the dedicated staff throughout this COVID-19 period. I, however, regrettably must say that, expressing what we've seen in recent weeks, in the recent week, by what was organised in West Belfast last Tuesday, it's rich for Sinn Féin to comment on health, and they're absolutely right to do so, but we have seen the pictures of our local MP standing amongst the crowd of literally hundreds of people in Milltown. There has been comments appear on Facebook that are scaremongering to the extreme. In some cases, they're using the Down issue as a party political football. We had our local MP say that the local A&E had been replaced with a minor injuries unit. This was refuted by the Trust and said this was absolutely not the case and had not been said at the meeting. We had a local Sinn Féin MLA saying that there is going to be major changes at the Down. This, again, is not the case. It is completely bad form to use health as a party political football, and we as councillors, and all parties should be united in seeing first-rate services returned to our district. And on that end, myself and Ulster Unionist colleagues will be meeting with the Chief Executive of the South Eastern Trust this week, and we will be certainly putting these issues of our of the constituents and what's been mentioned here tonight by councillors. I certainly want to see the Down open as soon as possible. I am a father of two young children, and God forbid that anything happened to those two young kids that I would have to travel to Newry, Craigavon, or Lisburn, or Ulster. I want to see a local hospital, but it needs to be safe, and we need to take the scientific and medical advice to ensure that it's opened in a safe manner.
Thank you very much, Councillor Lewis. Councillor Sharvin?
Yes, thank you, Chair, and most of the members will know that the Down is seen as the people's hospital, and I think we need to remember that while we are discussing this and obviously sharing our views to the public. It was fought by the people and continues to be the highest priority for the people in this area. I too am extremely disappointed that the Trust has not provided a targeted date for the restoration of the emergency department, and that is exactly the assurances local people want from the Trust and the department. Today at 4 p.m, the Trust posted that the Ulster is extremely busy today. You only have to go back 2 weeks where they also post that the Ulster is extremely busy today. 2 weeks before that, they posted that the Ulster is extremely busy today. So there is a clear example of where the Down can play a role to take the pressure off the Ulster, and is a clear need for the services locally within Downpatrick and the wider area. Earlier this month, in June, I wrote to Minister Swan after local residents, doctors, nurses and other medical staff expressed their concerns around the timeline for services to be restored. And I highlighted the transparency of the Southern Trust for Daisy Hills Emergency Department in being reopened and the same needed for the Down. In his response, he clearly stated the intention to restore services in the Down for both emergency department and minor injuries unit to be restored when appropriate to do so. So the minor injuries unit, just in case other members are unsure, was already existent at the Down. It is not a new service, it is being restored. Further to that, I wrote to Seamus McGorn as Interim Chief Executive requesting for the restoration of both the emergency department and minor injuries and a clear time frame for all to be restored. As someone knows, Phase 1 has already seen services recommencing, you know, including primary day case surgical work. Again, the Interim Chief Executive stated that it was their plan to restore the emergency services and minor injuries. He added in his response, "The Trust is unable to provide a timeline due to COVID-19 and being heavily reliant on staff availability." We need to be extremely sensitive on this issue. There is real concern in the local area, and from those that I have spoken to, that includes staff who have provided frontline services throughout COVID-19 and have went above and beyond that have been affected by these temporary changes. It is also those who are fearful of going to emergency departments, one, from catching COVID-19, two, from having to travel so far. We, as elected representatives, and that I will include MLAs and MPs, need to be seen as leaders. We need to hold the Trust in the department to account and demand a date, but we should not be scaremongering. We should be clear and concise. The department is saying this, the Trust is saying that. What we're asking in this motion is what the people of South Down and the wider area want, is a date for it to be restored. That is it. That will remove the issue for the Trust. Why they can't come ahead with a targeted date, I don't understand. But I would caution, we need to be extremely sensitive. There's people's lives that are affected by this, both from a work perspective and a medical perspective. But, Chair, totally support the motion. I really want to see the emergency department restored as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Councillor Sharvin. Councillor Andrews?
Thank you very much, Chair. Do you remember Love the Down? It's hard to believe where the 5 years have gone to since the people of Down, over 20,000 of them, took to their feet and marched through the streets of Downpatrick, showing their disapproval at the downgrading of the Down Hospital with the A&E department. And when you go fast forward to today, this day, Friday in July, you think about it, a lot of water has gone under the bridge since then. COVID-19, as we're all aware, has impacted big time on our health service. And our staff were redeployed from the Down to go work alongside their other frontline colleagues. And we are deeply indebted to our frontline staff who've made so many sacrifices and worked hard and tirelessly for those who they care for. And with the effects of this pandemic, which has also touched the hearts of so many. The Down Hospital, as we all know, has been a focal point of our communities, which it serves. A rural and urban spread from outside Sinfield to the Mourns. And when you think about it, and we all heard time and time again that commitments were given by various trusts, and we the people demand that they should be upheld. You know, what we expect and what we should get is what other places have for granted, you know, a full A&E services at the Down, and not reassurances, but an announcement of a start date. In 2015, we love the Down, and today that message of we love the Down is very much the same. The people expect better, and just to let people at Daisy Hill, means so much to them too, that we are very much with you too, and we're behind you 100%, and we're all in it together. And sum it up, when you think about it, this part of the country, the southeast of Down, and Newry City, and parts of South Armagh, do not have an A&E. Daisy Hill has a start date. And we, that love and cherish the Down so much, we don't need the same. We don't demand the same. We want to be treated the same. And I'm 110% behind the supporters of this motion, and also send out the message to the people that we represent that we're with you, thick and thin, standing together shoulder to shoulder to get what people want and deserve as a fully functioning A&E at the Down. And thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Curran. Dermot, do you want to ask a question or make a comment? Councillor Curran?
Yeah. Speaking, can you hear me now?
I can indeed, Dermot. Yep, you want to head there?
So sorry for that together. I'm totally 100% behind this motion. And I must say, when you were there on Friday, when all the questions were asked together, and we got no responsive answer at all on Friday. But I must say, I was very disappointed in Roisin and our other supporters that came along to us on Friday to tell us that they couldn't give us a date when the A&E would be open in the Downey Hospital. You know, there's something seriously wrong there together. And I'm glad that we're writing to the Minister. And I would hope that the Minister would be truthful with us and tell us when we're going to have services returned to Downey, especially the A&E returned to the Downey Hospital. And I would like him to maybe tell us about something of the future of the hospital too at the same time. I think he's a very honest person. And I would hope that when we do meet him, that he will, as I said, will be honest with us and tell us the exact question. But in the meantime, have the A&E service returned to Down, because, as you know and I know and the people of Down know, it was a long, hard fight to get that hospital there. And I was part of those many demonstrations that we had. So I hope that we will go and will go down to the Minister, and he will talk to him, and he will tell us what's going to happen, and we'll return the A&E to the Downey Hospital. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you very much, Dermot. And then the last question is from Councillor Riley.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I think it's very important that we remember that Robin Swan, as the Minister, was
swamped with the global aspect of COVID-19. And he was actually part of the UK-wide team that coordinated the response, along with the health ministers in Wales and Scotland and Westminster. So, but the problem with that was that he delegated a lot of authority to the trust management to make their own decisions, executive decisions. And I said at the time, and I circulated to councillors and our chief executive and senior staff, that I thought there was a degree of opportunism on the part of the trust, and that it was never let a good crisis go to waste, because they've been trying to close the A&E for years. There's no doubt about that. They've been trying to do this for years, and they've seen an opportunity. And I know that the Southern Trust is saying that there will be services restored in Uri, but if you look at some of the statements they've put out, it could be a long way down the road as part of their general plan for development of health services. We don't know what sort of an A&E we're going to get back. And if you look at the way that those departments have been completely bought out, it looks like it was done not as a temporary measure, but as a fairly long-term measure. And I'm not going to be completely negative on it, because I do believe that Swan is a very honourable man, and I believe that he will do his best to get those services reinstated. But we should have done what I said at the time, fought it, because why were we the only health trust in the whole of the United Kingdom or Ireland that actually shut down fully serviceable A&E units? It was crazy, and we should have opposed it. But it's too late for that now. But we definitely need to fight very, very hard now to get those services reinstated. The Kilkee Long Long area, anybody who knows how difficult it is to get to Craigavon, something like 5 bus stops to get there if you use public transport. And the ambulance service is so far stretched at the minute. People down here, if you get sick, it's a lottery as to whether you get an ambulance on time. So I fully support the motion, but I just wish the council had been more proactive in opposing the trust and what they were doing when they'd done it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor O'Reilly. And before we move on, I know that Councillor Walker had tabled a slight amendment there, so I suppose I want to go back to Una and John initially and just check that they're content. I think that was... first of all, Councillor Walker, do you have a seconder in terms of that proposal about the virtual meeting, that amendment to amend the proposal?
I'm happy to second it. Councillor Sharman has it there.
Ah, okay. Perfect. Perfect. So
Glenn,
then,
sorry, Glenn.
Sorry, Councillor Brown has seconded it.
Councillor Brown. Thank you, Sarah. Can I go back to Una and John then and see if you're content with that amendment to your proposal to add it on? Councillor Hanlon Traynor, there was a slight amendment proposed by Councillor Walker to add on that we would request a virtual meeting with the Health Minister. Are you content to add that to your proposal?
I would be content, but I would make the suggestion that it's the health working group that meets with the minister, because there is a Bohun system there, so it will have cross-party representation alongside representatives from the health community and campaigners.
Yes, no, through the chair, sorry, I should have said that, or the health group that sits at the minute from council in relation to, yes, that there, because they're the ones that's up to speed, they're the ones that's getting the information and that through, and all parties on that there are represented. I'm happy enough for that.
Okay, well, I'd be happy to accept that, Councillor Walker.
Thank you. Before I hand just back over to you and John to sort of wrap up, I suppose I just want to make a couple of points, if that was okay. Uncertainty, unfortunately, can breed mistrust. And I chaired the meeting on Friday with the South Eastern Trust, and they did say clearly that they would be returning ED services to Down, but due to COVID, they couldn't give us a specific date at that time. As you know, we were all there, and all the points put across were very, very relevant in support of the resumption of services. I'm pleased to report, I know a couple of members have mentioned officially, I received word on Friday evening that the Trust will be providing Council the date for ED services resuming, and that would take place hopefully by the end of July. July. So I take people at face value and I fully respect what I was told at that meeting on Friday. So really, the South Eastern Trust, now it's over to you. We await this information by the end of this month and we look forward to continued dialogue in the weeks and months ahead. And it really is important that we all continue to work together positively. And when I do receive any further updates, I'll endeavour to update the Council at the same time. I think just there was one comment made by a councillor with the Southern Trust. The Southern Trust have confirmed that they have resumed services, and that's the difference between the Southern Trust and the South Eastern Trust at that stage, just to point that out. So in terms, back to you then, Una and John, to sum up then before we move forward.
Yeah, well, I'll go ahead here. Well, first of all, I do appreciate the cross-party support for the joint motion. What I would say is, you know, anybody that attended the health working group on Friday, and that was a subsequent meeting from Thursday, where Sinn Féin met with both trusts, and unfortunately, you know, we had to press them to come out with a commitment for the date. I don't think that press statement would have came if we hadn't given them pushed them on it. So I just want to make that point to start with. I don't think that Sinn Féin have been scaremongering. As I said, I attended the trust meeting, and the Southern Trust have a completely different attitude and a completely different tone in comparison to the South East Trust. I can't control that. Us elected reps will take them at face value, but unfortunately the face value was non-committal and it was very much focusing on a minor injuries unit, and that's just not good enough for this side of South Down. We have been left without an A&E. We are the only ones in the north who have been left without an A&E. Lag and Valley have their two coded, as do the Ulster. I think somebody alluded to the fact that earlier on that the Ulster is it's queued out the door, and yet we can't open our facility down here. And I do listen to my constituents, and I listen to what the staff are telling me. I have many family members who actually work within the trust, and people have been ringing me and telling me how worried they are. And that wasn't me scaremongering, that's them bringing their concerns to me. So I just want to make that point. I did state to the Trust in the Health Working Committee on Friday that as much assurances that they can give, that a goal without a date is just a wish, and that's not good enough for the staff. The staff are worried and the constituents are worried, and we need to have a date in place. I do welcome that the Trust changed their tack over the weekend and decided that they would give us a date, and I do welcome the fact that that will be forthcoming. And I do think it's important that the Minister steps in and lives up to the expectations that he has, that he will guide the Trust and give them the support that they need. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Hanlon. John, are you content that we go ahead and move forward, or do you want to come back in?
Chair, there's not much more that can be said. I think that, you know, we can get a very clear read from the room, you know, that this is it's an issue that affects all of us. I think, you know, talk about it being a political football, and talk about talking about this as being something being used as political football, I think that's very unfair, because, you know, we are not in this motion attacking the health minister. What we are doing is we're attacking the trusts which are in place, who are accountable to the health minister, and we're asking the health minister to use that accountability to ensure that the trusts are different for the people on a local level. And over the years, I know that, you know, Councillor Walker will know this, and other councillors from the Old Down Council will know this, that over the years there has been a significant worry with regards, you know, the centralisation of hospital services and the disparity that there is between rural healthcare and urban healthcare. And I suppose over the years, as that builds up, you do get a distrust of those who are in those decision-making places. So what we're saying is we're fully supportive of the health minister. We're fully supporting the health minister in his role in being able to intervene in this and being able to bring the trust on board and ensuring that they live up to the assurances that they have given to the people of South Down, Newry and Slieve Fillan. And so that's just my final point, Matt, Laura. And I just maybe to touch on what Councillor Hannon did say there. It's very interesting to note that there was only four EDs that were closed across the whole of the United Kingdom, and three of those EDs were in the north here, and two of those were in this district. That tells us a huge story. That tells us of the inequalities that we are experiencing. So, you know, whenever we're talking about second-class citizens, whenever we're talking about distrust, it's founded in how we are approached on a regional basis. So that's all I have to say, sir.
That's great, Councillor. Thanks very much. Thank you to you and Una. And I think from picking up from members, it all seems very positive support of the motion. So can we just say that everybody's in agreement? We can move on there, please.
Yes, we're in favour.
Okay, thank you very much. So if we move on to the next item on the agenda, the second emergency motion, which has been tabled by Councillor Savage, I think it's been seconded by Councillor McKevitt. Mike, do you want to read the motion out, please?
Yes, it is going to be seconded by Councillor McKevitt. The motion reads, this council is deeply concerned that the Greater Newry, South Down and South Armagh area has been left with no Northern Ireland ambulance service cover in recent days and has been reliant on the support of St John's Ambulance Service and rapid response vehicles to provide cover in the area. Expresses anger at the unacceptable lengthy delays in getting ambulances to the scene of a serious road accident and other emergencies over the weekend, and asks the Council Chief Executive to write the Chief Executive of the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service requesting an urgent meeting with councillors to discuss the lack of ambulance cover across the district. Writes to the Health Minister, Robin Swan, seeking assurances that adequate funding has been sought and secured to ensure any potential ambulance triaging as part of a new look post-COVID-19 emergency service can operate without difficulty and tackle issues around crew shortages. And writes to Finance Minister Conor Murphy, requesting that adequate funding is provided to the Department of Health and Northern Ireland Ambulance Service to ensure emergency services can be restored to Daisy Hill and Down hospitals in the timeframes outlined by the Southern and South Eastern Healthcare Trusts. Chair, this motion reflects, I believe, the deep concerns of every one of our elected representatives and indeed the people we represent. One of the first things I had to deal with today was to take a phone call from a distraught neighbour of two young people who were trapped in their car on the old A1 at Sheepridge early this morning. Fire and ambulance crews were called to the scene, and I believe fire crews used cutting equipment to free the driver and passenger. Neighbours rushed to the scene and informed me that there were two ambulances requested. One, I'm told, arrived an hour after it was called and took one of the injured to hospital, and I'm also told that it was over 2 hours from the accident was reported before the second injured party was in an ambulance and on their way to hospital. Firstly, Chair, I want to pass on my thoughts and prayers to the two young people who were injured this morning and their families who are going through a difficult time, and I trust they will make a full recovery. I also want to thank the members of the emergency services who arrived at the scene, including the fantastic ambulance crews for their professionalism in getting these two young people to hospital. This morning's incident was not the only one over the last few days where waiting times for ambulances were unacceptable due to a lack of cover. I'm also aware of reports of a lengthy delay for an ambulance in Dominic Street area of Newry at the weekend. But your questions must be asked around how it took so long for ambulances to reach the scene of these incidences. Our ambulance crews do heroic work every minute of every day and have been asked to dash to harrowing scenes at a moment's notice. Unfortunately, they have been let down by a system that does not appear to be fit for purpose. How can the system leave the people of this area with no ambulance cover in recent days? Why was our area in particular left with no cover during a pandemic when our local emergency units at Daisy Hill and the Down are temporarily closed as part of the Department of Health's response to COVID-19 and heavily dependent on the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service to take patients to the ED at Craigavon or the Ulster Hospital in Dundonald? Chair, you just couldn't make it up. Answers are needed, and that is why I've tabled this emergency motion this evening. The first part of the motion requests the Chief Executive of the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service to meet with this council and answer the very serious questions we have on behalf of the people of this district relating to the ambulance service and its ability to meet current and future demand. The second part of the motion raises the area of concern we now have in this district in the week that the Health Minister is expected to announce a new regime of emergency departments due to be rolled out over the next 3 months that will eventually lead to Daisy Hill and the Down EDs opening again. I am led to believe that this new ED regime will involve 3 hours by ambulance. This weekend's events do not instill much confidence in the Minister's potential plan. If the ambulance service is key to any new regime, then it must be resourced properly, financially, and resourced properly from the staffing perspective. That is why we must write to the Health Minister outlining our concerns and seeking assurances that any plans he has for the future emergency services across this district must be adequately resourced and the ambulance service is not left threadbare again in Newry Mourne and Down, and our valley and frontline emergency workers and ambulance crews are not stretched to the limits. The third element of this motion highlights the need for the Department of Finance to step up and provide the funding needed to meet the future challenges of our health service and the delivery of our emergency and ambulance service over the coming months and years. That is why we need to write to Minister Conor Murphy requesting that he makes the necessary funding available to ensure that any changes to our emergency care are positive and deliverable. Our party group has always said that we would support the Finance Minister in any attempt he makes to try and extract more money from the Treasury, and we stand by that today. Chair, I will sum up by asking us all to remember that when an ambulance is called, there are real people involved. The frontline crews who have to make their way to, on some occasions, a harrowing scene, and the people desperately in need of emergency medical assistance. If the system is broken, these real people suffer. The crews are stretched to the limits in an already stressful job, and those in need of their assistance suffer if they have to wait on the logistics of getting ambulance freed up to reach them sorted. The people of this district deserve better treatment than this, and the magnificent staff that are our ambulance crews deserve better than this, and this is why I urge members to support this motion. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, Councillor Savage. I think you mentioned that Councillor McKevitt is the second of the motion. Karen, did you want to speak?
I do indeed, and gladly second this motion. But, you know, it is very depressing that on our last motion and this motion, the two very important matters right across our district, one with the emergency department across South Down, and then no ambulance cover. I mean, my patience is absolutely stretched to the limits. Very, very disappointed, Laura, that we weren't informed either as elected representatives that we weren't going to have ambulance cover. I thank God and take my hat off to every one of the lifesavers that deliver daily, every minute of the day, to help save the lives right across our district. And by God, we have seen quite a few lose their lives on our roads, and it's only by the grace of God that nobody lost their lives over the weekend, and if they were waiting on an ambulance to save it, it wasn't happening. So for St John's Ambulance, for our response teams, our rapid response vehicles, which by the way only came about back from 2005 when I first was elected onto Newry and Warren Council, we're actually talking about the same thing. South Armagh couldn't get ambulance cover, and we had to come up with a deal with the fire service, a memorandum of understanding that they would come in place to be the first emergency services at the scene, and then our volunteers after that, and thank God that they were there to try and some form of cover over the weekend. I get that Robin Swan had in this together attitude, and I think he's done an excellent job in trying to produce the best of services in the times that we're in with COVID. In fact, I think he's gone the extra mile on a number of occasions, and knowing him personally was very, very proud. Our staff in our A&E went the extra mile by going to give their services from Murray A&E over to Craigavon, and I take my hat off for that. Temporary. But more importantly, to our people that live in our district, we had a in this together attitude, and where the services to A&E were diluted down to Craigavon in the numbers, and you know that has to go without saying, very, very proud. In fact, everybody has gone the extra mile. But for our district to be singled out for no emergency cover, as what Councillor Savage has already said, in our emergency department, to no ambulance cover, it doesn't add up to me. We've been talking about this for 15 years, and enough's enough. My patience is definitely stretched to the limits on it. I took a motion to the Assembly in January 2005, and you know what? I was talking about the exact same thing, the ambulance service, and it's not fair. It is not fair on the excellent staff of the ambulance service that, yet again, negative headlines are coming out about South Down, because they do tremendous work, and it's not fair. But it's not fair on us either. So, I mean, to future-proof our services, we need to get in behind the health minister for any future plans that he has. But we won't, and make this message be clear, we will not be going in behind him unless the financial resources are there to protect the emergency services here in South Down. It just can't happen. So the money has to be put in, and the investment has to be there to future-proof the services. I think I'm sick and tired of fighting tooth and nail for this issue. A sentence that I used And I'll finish off on this, chairperson, but the sentence I used a number of years ago, that we're in the health services in the business of saving lives, not pennies, and it's time that the investment was brought seriously to South Down. So I'm happy to second the motion, and hopefully that will be listened to. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Karen. And if we move on down, then if we move on to Councillor Taylor.
Yep, thank you, Chair. I've got to thank the proposers, Councillor Savage and Councillor McKibben, for bringing forward this motion. It's obviously a very important issue and something that I was concerned about whenever I learned of the developments over the last number of days regarding ambulance cover in the area. I suppose it's probably something important to note, and this was something that was made was brought to my attention and reminded me really of it. As paramedic had mentioned to me, that this isn't the first time this has actually happened in the Southern Division, and it's been an ongoing issue. It seems to raise its head now and again, and it's one of those issues where, you know, obviously we highlighted here in forums such as the council, but then it's probably we need to be more, probably selective representatives need to be more persistent in ensuring that there's a long-term solution to this, because, you know, I made representations to the chief executive of the ambulance service as soon as I became aware of this, and I've agreed to meet with him in the next day or so to discuss it in further detail. We need to see some evidence of long-term planning in terms of trying to eradicate this problem, you know, so that it doesn't raise its head on occasions or raise its head, in fact, again, because, you know, it is a very worrying situation when we don't have the emergency departments in place at the moment because of the COVID situation, and we actually should have been treated as a priority in terms of ambulance cover in Northern Ireland because of that situation, and that is concerning that we did find ourselves in potentially a life-threatening situation for patients, for someone that takes on well. You know, I was told by a constituent, for instance, about someone taking on well late last week, and it took the ambulance an hour and a half to arrive to the home of the person that took on well. And whilst they couldn't praise the paramedics enough whenever they arrived, they said they were incredible and undoubtedly saved the person's life. It's extremely worrying that it took taken an hour and a half for an ambulance to respond to an emergency situation like that. And there's other examples that I'm sure other elected representatives could give. And we do find ourselves, obviously, our district is quite rural. You know, the area that I represent is very rural, obviously. And we have challenges in South Armagh with health provision, and it's concerning that ambulances aren't able to respond in the time that they should be responding in. And it can, on occasions, unfortunately, lead to a situation potentially where someone could lose their life, and that's not acceptable. It's something I'm raising with my party colleague, the Health Minister, as well. I'm seeking commitments in terms of, you know, ambulance cover going forward. As I say, I think there is structural issues in terms of the ambulance service and ensuring that there is sufficient levels of staff, and there's work to be going on that, and that's a long-term thing, but hopefully it isn't too long-term, because we need urgent action on this. But certainly in the short term, there needs to be measures put in place to deal with this matter so we don't have the worry of insufficient ambulance cover in the area. We're very supportive of the projects, of the motion, and I'm sure everybody will back on it tonight.
Thank you very much, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Hannah.
Thanks, Chair. First of all, I'd like to thank Michael there for bringing forward this motion along with Ciaran. Unfortunately, over the last 5 or 6 weeks, I had an occasion there to be very dependent on the ambulance service, and just to put into words what my thoughts are, the first responders, and the crews of the ambulance, they're excellent. So the rapid response vehicle, and that there, we cannot do without them in this area. It's very, very something. I know my father took ill, say he did, and he pushed the lifeline button around his neck, say he did, and the rapid response vehicle was there pretty quickly with my father, say he was. And he pretty much kept him going for nearly 3.5 hours till an ambulance actually came from Dungannon for my father to take him to Craigavon Hospital. That's just a simple story of what happened, and I personally have experienced that there in the last 5 or 6 weeks. What David is saying is the truth, that is, we do need a strategic look at how ambulance services are delivered, so we do. And I believe it's under-resourced. And in the time that I was waiting with the guy from the rapid response vehicle, he had actually, in the last week, the amount of hours he had done was colossal. It was colossal, so it was. And you have to remember, too, we need more staff And where do you get more staff? You have to train people, so you do, and that there comes from Santa, less storm at the games that is. We need all this sorted out, so the DUP will be supporting this motion. So, well, and where I live at in South Down, we're pretty isolated. You have to bear in mind that Cranfield Point is the most southerly part of Northern Ireland. We're at the very least, 45, 50 minutes from Uri, which is bad enough. To go to Craigavon, it took my father's ambulance nearly an hour and 35 minutes to get there because they had to go that slowly. So ambulances are so important to us all. They make a huge difference. We do need this sorted out once and for all. And what David Taylor says is the truth. We need more resources to get this right. So we and the DUP will be fully supporting your motion, Michael. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Councillor Hannah. Councillor O'Mara.
Yeah, our party group broadly agrees with the intent of the motion, but we're unhappy with some of the wording of it. We feel that this motion was an opportunity to challenge long-time underfunding of the ambulance service by the Exchequer, and he wastes the opportunity with party party politics. It seems to the party group and that he's making some assertions with it. He's making an assertion maybe that Robin Swan hasn't been funded enough in terms of ambulance funding. Has he asked the minister, did he seek any funding that he wasn't given? Has he any evidence whatsoever that Robin Swan was underfunded? But he wants us to write to Robin Swan to ask him, is he committed to it? But without asking, has the minister been underfunded? He's asking to write to the Minister of Finance. It's not the Minister of Finance who decides whether to give more money, to allocate more money to the Minister of Health. It's the Executive that decided. The Executive decided in March on a budget that they were going to divvy out among the rest of the ministries, signed off by his colleague, Nicola Mallon, as one of many of executive members. There was no question at that stage, there was no doubt, there was no anything until here tonight, that this motion is suggesting, and maybe this isn't Michael Savage's intention, it might just be inference, but it certainly suggests to me, reading it, and I only got a look at this during the course of this meeting, it looks to me that there's a problem, and there is a huge problem with underfunding of the ambulance service in our area. There's no doubt about that. That's the bit we agree with. But then, to say that we need to write to Robin Swan, and we need to write to Conor Murphy, and pointing the finger at two people isn't the solution. I want to raise or to propose an amendment to that. The amendment that I would put in, I agree with everything in it down to the semicolon rights to the health minister. Okay? So I agree down to an urgent meeting with councillors to discuss the lack of ambulance cover across the district. And instead of saying rights to the health minister, Robin Swan, and going on with that and writing to Conor Murphy and all that there, I would just say rights to the executive. So he's writing to the executive. He's not writing to two individual ministers who are going to have to go back to the executive that they all sit and agree on budgetary issues with, that it'll write to the executive and it'll be given the seriousness that the matter deserves. There's a feeling among our group that it's petty party politics and it's far too serious an issue to go down that line. So I urge Michael and Karen, who seconded the motion, to consider the amendment, which isn't diluting in any way what you're trying to do with this motion. It's removing the health minister and the finance minister out of it, because it looks like your motion is going after two individuals, and urging the executive to apply to the Exchequer for more funding for the ambulance service, and to ask our council to do the same. Shana Willingham, from Oregon.
Thank you, Councillor O'Mara. Do you have a seconder for that proposal? Councillor O'Mara, do you have a seconder? Councillor Harrell seconded. Okay, then back to Councillor Savage. Are you willing to accept that amendment, Councillor Savage?
Sure. First of all, What I would say to you is the only person who's brought petty party politics into this has been the last speaker, because that was certainly not my intent. The rationale behind me mentioning the two ministers are those are the two ministers responsible for the two things that we need for this thing to be fixed, and that's resources. And whatever way Councillor Murray wants to flag it up, the bottom line is the health minister makes decisions. He's very quick at coming out in relation to, or sorry, the finance minister is very quick at coming out when he has a bag of goodies to give out and portray it as if it's his decision to do it. But there is a party executive, there is an executive that meets and decides on these things. But the key, the proposals for the expenditure and the proposals from each department come from the individual ministers. And that's why I believe we should write to the ministers to create an awareness about the severe shortage of resource that we have in this area. For God's sake, we need to just reflect on the fact that we had no ambulance cover in this district. And we've had no ED in this district for the last 14, 15 weeks. Now, this isn't about party politics. It's about making sure that the two ministers with key responsibility for the delivery of the resources that are required. And I think it's a very sensible question to ask the Minister for Health, has he got sufficient resources? Did he ask for the resources and did he get them? And secondly, ask the Finance Minister, had he any issue with the providing those resources? And as I said, not to be party political, as I said in my speech, we will fully support the Finance Minister if he feels that the finances are so tight that he needs support from the Treasury to do it. We have said that from day one. This is not about party politicking. And as a result of that, Chair, I'm happy with the tone and the wording of my motion. And I'm not prepared to change it because I was never party politicking from day one. This motion was brought late in the day on the back. The motion was brought late in the day on the back of very emotional neighbours at an accident today asked me to highlight this issue. And I'm prepared to stick by what I have proposed tonight.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Sells. So we've had a proposal and a seconder from Councillor O'Mara and Councillor Howell in terms of the amendment. Can we put that to the vote, please?
Just a couple of us in to speak as well, Laura.
But does the amendment, I think, needs to be voted on first of all, and then I bring you in afterwards, is that correct?
Right. Yeah, a recorded vote, please, Chair.
Okay. First and second, bring Maria in.
Yeah, Chair, you could follow, continue with the questions, or you can take the vote now. It's probably cleaner to take the vote now, because then you know what the amendment and whether it's been accepted or not.
Okay, I'll go for the vote now then, and then I can bring Peter in afterwards.
And there's been a call for a recorded vote, so, Sarah, you would need to call the names.
Chair, there's just a point of information.
Pete, your mic's not down.
Just as a point of information, some of our contributions will touch on the amendment as well. So.
Well, then, Chair, do you want to go ahead and take those then, and then we'll take the vote?
Yep, go on ahead, Pete. You were in next as yourself, and Terry Andrews, I think, are the two speakers. Go on ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I suppose a few of the things that Barrett said and then Michael said in response, I just want to touch on. It was only till it came down to Barrett that it became about petty party politics, as he says. I mean, you know, the anger in his voice, you know, tells you everything. We do not want to take a generic motion and an emergency motion that just points in a general direction. We want to get to the nuts and bolts of who has paper sitting on the table. The Health Minister has a 3-month plan sitting on his table from the Southern Trust and a plan from the South Eastern Trust, and he's going to make decisions on that plan midweek. We want to make sure that the decisions that made on that plan that will actually put more pressure on Northern Ireland Ambulance Service, because we're looking at triaging patients in a totally different way, something that we will be scrutinising highly and something that we don't support because rural areas are actually hit the hardest, and Councillor Murray knows that. When a minister has a plan sitting on his table, we are right to go directly to that person to ask the questions. Why on earth would we propose to go to an executive and then the minister announce something on Wednesday or Thursday without us scrutinising that at the earliest opportunity? And also, the additional monies that were provided by the Department of Finance in June monitoring round, that was simply plugging a hole. So we have NIAS saying that the resources that they have is stretched to breaking point. We've seen that at the weekend. If the resources are stretched to breaking point, and we know that money was plugged in there in the June monitoring round, and there's paper sitting on the Minister of Health table, why would we go round about it? We need to go to them directly. I don't mind if it's tagged on that we talk to the executive as well, but we need to hit the issue where the Minister's table that's sitting on. CAWT, we talked about the last time that the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service were at the Health Working Group to come to the full council. There was nobody at the Health Working Group last week. But I think it was a couple of months ago that I had a rep at the full council. Prior to that, Shane Devlin was the CEO of Northern Ireland Ambulance Service. I mean, the amount of questions that were asked the last time the chief executive was present in the council showed the glaring holes and the lack of resources that the ambulance service was facing. I had raised some of the Interreg funding from CAWT, which is a cross-border health and social care partnership. There are a number of programmes for rapid response vehicles. We were lobbying for ones in the council area, and especially in the border area of South Armagh. The closest vehicle to us was sent to Monaghan in this cross-border programme. Shane Devlin held his hands up at that meeting and said, I will actually, on the record, we haven't done enough. The role of NIAS there was to lobby CAWT and for that Interreg funding to ensure that those areas that had lack of ambulance cover, we could use the voice of the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service to lobby to make sure that there was cover for those areas with rapid response vehicles. They said themselves at the last meeting that they didn't do enough. We now have a change in the Chief Executive. The Chief Executive, Michael Bloomfield of David, said he had written to him at the weekend, and I had written to him on the behalf of the SDLP as well, asking for questions to be answered on what they're doing to tackle this lack of resources. We have yet to discuss these issues with Michael Bloomfield. I don't think it's good enough that we had a working group last week and we didn't have any representative of NIAS and we find out that there's no ambulance cover at the weekend. There should always be collaboration with the elected reps, whether that be councillors or whether that be MLAs. But that information has to feed down because otherwise then you get the anger in the street whenever you don't have the services. I concur with what Karen McEvitt had said when she was seconded. This is not putting the blame onto the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service. The Chief Executive has questions to answer. The Health Minister has a number of things to juggle here, but we should ask the questions of those two ministers before it's too late. We need answers. We need to all work together. We need to collaborate. But we cannot get defensive. And this is the last point I'm making this. We cannot get defensive every time something is flagged up at our party. If there's something flagged up to Minister Mallon that I think that we need to be strong on, I'll be like Willie Walker always said, I'll be in behind them as well. These are ministers and our executive that are working collectively. It just happens to fall in the brief of two other ministers. So, I don't think we need to get, we don't need to bandy about that it's all the Treasury. It's all the Tories. I am sick to death of hearing that line. If you look over the last year, you're talking about a 25% increase in the budget in Northern Ireland. Ministers have to make tough decisions to where that money is spent. Yes, we can always go back to the Treasury, and I'll be the first person to say it, and Michael Savage said it at the last time we were discussing sending the Finance Minister back to England with all our support to the Treasury to get more money. We will say that constantly, but it is not a tool that we can turn around and mask some of the inefficiencies in our own executive. We have to face up to the budgets that we do have and make good decisions with those budgets. There is no point in the Minister for Health being thrown under the bus next week whenever he puts more pressure and more onus on the ambulance service to triage patients and he doesn't have the budget. Let's write to the two ministers, as Michael Savage had said. Write to the executive if you want, but this week I think we should still be writing to the two ministers as a matter of urgency. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne. We still have Councillor Andrews and Councillor Traynor, and then we'll put Councillor O'Meara's proposal to the vote. So, Councillor Andrews.
Thank you very much, Chair, and I'd like to thank the speakers so far for their contributions. I would be fully in support of the theme of the motion. On previous occasions, even going back to Down District Council days, we have raised the issue of ambulance cover and response times to the NIAS, you know what I mean? And we do appreciate the hard work that they all do, that and all you're under the front line and under so much pressure. And as I say, I do support the calls and demands of what this motion is about for the enhancement and for more resources to be given to the ambulance service. And the fact is that the two ministers who are key are our finance minister and our health minister. And by approaching them, and they can go into their departments, get all the facts and figures that. Facts and figures that I bring them into the executive table and sit and present to the executive exactly what's going on in the department and what is needed. And we're 110% behind the ministers to get the funding and to get a fully functioning ambulance service that has the resources at its fingertips. Because we have to think about cardiac, we have to think about strokes, so the golden hour is what they call it. You know, the fact is that response times are key. And we all have a common goal and a common aim here is providing a vital and valuable service. And we'll support any means to get that service improved and enhanced. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. And then the last speaker, then Councillor Traynor.
Thank you very much, Chair. Whenever I was thinking about the motions, I thought, you know, the speakers have done very well in raising the issues. But I think it's important to raise the fact that this isn't the first time we're talking about the response times for Northern Ireland Ambulance Service within our district. I think over the last certainly over the last 4 years that I've been there, I know that every year we've had to raise the deterioration in the ambulance response times. Over those same 4 years, consultation process has taken place with the workings of that then being presented last year, where there was a programme that was to be put in place by the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service. I suppose what's happened now, by the signs of things, is COVID has obviously put our system under a lot of strain. And the questions that maybe need to be asked are, you know, the programme that had been put in place for the increase in the staffing within the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service and for the acquisition of new vehicles and for also for the use of the intermediate care vehicles. You know, how has COVID impacted those plans? Are those plans still forthcoming? And any funding that had been set aside for the introduction of the, one, the training for the staff, but two, the acquisition of vehicles, is that funding still in place, or is it a case of do we need extra funding to ensure that that programme of work can still take place? I think it's very fair that, yes, you know, the Minister for Health has a responsibility with regards to health matters, the Minister of Finance has a responsibility with regards to financial matters, and yes, the Executive have to make it clear what the priority is going to be. I think everyone, I have to say this, I think it's been very difficult for all of our for all of the ministers, because they have come into a position in 3 months and been landed with a global pandemic. And I think that it's been very difficult. I don't think that anyone would wish to castigate ministers for decisions that have been taken, but we have got, we're in a position where there are feelings there. The ministers who are in place are the ministers who are going to be dealing with the fallout of that. And you know, it has to be a question of do they have the resources that will allow them to deal with the issues they face. As Pete said, as Michael said, you know, if it's a case of needing to ask the Treasury for more money, then so be it. We'll do that. We'll all happily stand in behind Conor Murphy as he approaches the British government and says, we need extra funding on the back of what has happened in this area due to COVID to ensure that we can meet the needs for the reconfiguration of our ambulance service. I don't think anyone will say no, they'll not stand behind Conor and ask the Treasury for that. But at the minute, what we need is we need the people who are in the decision-making positions to say whether or not they have adequate resources to deal with the issues at hand.
Thank you, Councillor Traynor. And actually, apologies, Councillor Riley, I think I've skipped over you in the instant message there, so we'll bring you in then before we actually put this to a vote.
Thanks very much, Madam Chair. I agree with all the sentiment involved in this notice of motion. One of the issues that has concerned me is in the rest of the UK and the Republic of Ireland, the military have been used to supplement the ambulance service, but that has not happened here. And one of the most ironic things that I've noticed is in Wales, the Royal Irish Rangers, who are from every county in Ireland, are supplementing the Welsh ambulance service. They brought them in, trained them up on how to use the ambulances, and they're mostly doing driving, but also their paramedics are helping out. And it just seems really absurd to me that in Northern Ireland that we're not allowed to use the military to help out in a time like this. And part of the problem with our ambulance service is that so many people are off on contact tracing, whatever. Obviously, the ambulance personnel who carry COVID-19 patients to the MATR or the centralised unit at the city, they then have to take time off, and they've had no one to replace them. The pressure that they've been under is incredible, and it really is, you know, it's sad that we have so many people here in Northern Ireland, Army reservists, some of the best trained medics in the world, the great drivers that could be helping out our NHS here, and they're not allowed to do it. And I think Sinn Féin in particular need to, you know, set all these old animosities aside and say to themselves, right, we're here for the people. I guarantee you that those people in the A1, those families would not have minded if it had been a Royal Irish Ranger from Cork or Derry or wherever that came and helped them. The best medics in the world, some of them. And it just seems absurd that we're putting so much pressure on
during this time of COVID-19 that because of the objections of Michelle O'Neill the last time, whenever Robin Swan mentioned that the military were building Nightinghead hospitals, that, you know, because of that kick-up, then we're afraid to use that brilliant resource that we have. So we need to set all this aside, Laura, and really think about the people.
Thanks a lot, Councillor O'Reilly. So, Councillor O'Mara, before we actually just go back and put this to a vote, can I ask you to remind members of your proposal, please?
Yeah, I asked that the wording would be removed from after the semicolon until after Conor Murphy. I emailed Sarah there a couple of minutes ago.
Okay, thank you. Sarah, you can attempt to go then with a recorded vote, please.
Chair, if you want me just to read out what came through so you know what you're voting on, is that okay? So the motion reads the same up until the district with semicolon, and then it says, writing to the executive requesting that adequate funding is provided to the Department of Health and the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service to ensure emergency services can be restored to Daisy Hill and Down hospitals in the timeframes outlined by the Southern and South Eastern Health Care Trusts. Excuse me.
Thanks, Marie.
Thank you, Marie. Sarah, are you happy enough to go on ahead with that?
Yep. And I'll just share my screen again. Councillor Andrews?
Nope.
Councillor Brown?
Against.
Councillor Burgess? Is that Councillor Brown?
Against.
Councillor Casey?
Funny man.
Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Crowden?
Against.
Councillor Devlin?
Against.
Councillor Dorn?
For.
Councillor Enright has gone. Councillor Finnegan?
Yeah, for the amendment.
There's absent. Councillor Gibbons? Councillor Gibbons has dropped off. I'll keep going. Councillor Gibbons seems to have dropped off the call. Councillor Hanlon?
Against.
Hart is absent. Councillor Harrell?
For.
Councillor Larkin?
For.
Councillor Lewis has gone. Councillor McGuinness?
For.
Councillor Malone?
Against.
Councillor Mason?
For.
Councillor McAteer?
Against.
McAvoy has gone. Councillor McKee?
Against.
Devitt?
Against.
Councillor McMurray?
Against.
Councillor Mulgrew has gone. Councillor Murphy? Sorry, Councillor Murphy?
Councillor Murphy needs to unmute.
Is Councillor Murphy on the call? Councillor Herr?
For.
Councillor Murray?
For.
Owen has left. Councillor Riley?
Against.
Councillor Wan?
Or.
Savage?
Yeah.
Sorry, somebody's mic is not on mute, and we can hear you talking in the background, so could you just mute your mics?
Sorry, Councillor Sharvin?
Again.
Yeah.
Sorry, somebody's mic is not on mute, and we can hear your family talking in the background.
Councillor Stokes?
Against, Chair.
Councillor Taylor has dropped off. Councillor Tilney has dropped off. Councillor Traynor?
Against.
Okay.
Councillor Gibbons has come back on there.
Okay, sorry, Councillor Gibbons.
Four.
And I'm not sure if Councillor Murphy, I just can't find a number to phone him here at this point, because he looks like he's still in and we just can't hear him.
Yeah. Councillor McAvoy is on the back on the call as well. Councillor McAvoy, if you want to...
Four, Sarah.
Okay.
Please, thank you.
Can anybody from Councillor Murphy's party confirm whether he is actually on the meeting still?
How is this local democracy? If you're outside the chamber, you can't vote, simple as that.
I suppose, through the chair, just Councillor Murphy is still showing on our participants list.
Yeah, he's still showing us on the meeting, on the call.
Yeah, so we need to just...
He's moved by proxy. William Walker done that there a couple of weeks ago.
You can't do that, Chair.
I think he's having difficulties with his connection.
If somebody's in touch with him, we'll remove him from the meeting and re-invite him back in again. If you can tell him there, we've just removed him.
Okay, just give me a sec.
Sarah, can you try to see if you can invite Councillor Murphy back in?
I've just re-invited him back in there.
Okay.
So he's shown him back in the fall.
Just out of interest, Marie, can we check it? Is people being called that aren't in the participant list that have already left the meeting and they're rejoining again?
No, Councillor Murphy was on the list still. Yeah. As I was just looking at the list, he's still as a participant. Yeah, there's just something. It's like we had the problem earlier on with the microphone, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So it looks like he's there.
Okay.
He's in the instant messaging conversation. If Councillor Murphy is on the call, if he could just hit the instant messenger to us.
No, it's showing now he's not in the call.
Can we move on, Marie?
Yeah, sure, at your discretion,
Yeah, I think we need to move on. Whereabouts are we there? Sarah, are we done?
Yeah, so we have 14 for, 16 against, and 11 absent.
Okay, so that then that proposal then falls, and we revert back to the substantive motion that we have in front of us. And I'll go back then to ask Michael to sum up briefly, is that correct?
Yep, that's correct, sure.
Okay. Michael, do you want to come back in there to sum up, please?
Yes, Chair, can you hear me okay?
Can indeed, yeah. Fire away.
Yes, Chair. I'm just a bit disappointed that something that I felt was very badly needed, that needed to be said in the district, has sort of fallen down the trap of petty party politics. That was never my aim here, and I hope the Sinn Féin will reflect on that and see the merits and what I was proposing, in that I firmly believe, as Councillor Barnett outlined, the nature and gravity of where we are, the timelines involved in having to have a minister who's going to put forward emergency proposals for emergency services here that have the ambulance services as an integral part of it, that we needed to get to the two ministers who had their hands in the levers of both the strategic nous and the financial wherewithal to deliver this, and I would ask all the members to come behind the motion now and send a very strong message that we are behind the two ministers in our executive in trying to deliver a first-class emergency and ambulance service
We are appreciative of the financial pressures that the executive are under. It's not easy to be a finance minister or a health minister, but I think those are the two most important people we need to write to at the moment, because those are the people that will bring the Northern Ireland executive with them, if they can come together with the strong proposals over the coming weeks, that we don't be left in a position whereby I have very emotional and distraught people at the scene of an accident pleading with me to raise the issue of lack of ambulance cover in our district. We can't go on any longer without making sure that the people who are at the forefront of making these decisions, i.e. the health and the finance ministers, get on with the job that they've been put there to do. And, you know, we will support them in delivering on the ground here for the people of this district. And I would ask all the members to get behind the motion now and vote for it. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks very much, Councillor Savage. Do we have broad agreement for support of the motion there, or is there any...
Chair, could we have a vote on that just because we've had the other... Yeah.
Do we have a Sarah for that?
Nobody's called for a recorded vote, but probably... Sarah, how will we end voting on...
Normally use the instant message then to vote for or against.
Okay. Okay, could everybody do that then? We're happy to...
So then the motion passes.
Okay, so that's 25.
And is that everyone that's on the participants list there then, yeah?
It
appears to be.
Yeah.
Okay, the motion is carried.
Okay, sorry, folks. 26.
Yeah.
26.
26 for you. Hold on, give it a second, there's a few more going.
Yeah, just in case.
He's only booked for one.
Okay, do you think that's everybody?
I think Councillor Riley, you have appeared to have voted a couple of times. I think it's fair to say, though, Chair, that the overwhelming is four.
Yeah, we the proper total will be put into the minutes. People are now voting twice, and it's quite hard to see on the list.
So we will the instant message and can be retrieved, and we will count them properly.
So I think that by the looks of that motion has been carried. Thank you for that, Councillor Savage. That brings our meeting to a close. Thank you to everybody. I suppose it's our first sort of full virtual meeting of council. To thank the SNP and also Sarah's team for getting us all on board, and the IT department for all their assistance. So thank you very much, folks, and good night.
Thank you.